blame the manufacturer. Okay? And although Jesus told us not to judge, I know you're going to judge anyway. So judge sanely. Judge with your eyes open. What do you consider obscene? Is this obscene to you?
Last time on the Don and Mike Show.
The grandparent that does the best will win the Furby for their grandchild.
You must be like Santa Claus because you only come once a year.
Oh. I think you're probably a lesbian, aren't you?
Knock out, punch!
All
right, listen, hold on, Mr. Haymaker. We have a knockout.
The guy that calls you tapes, isn't it?
Bob Barker
tapes.
Michael?
What, Bob?
I have a gardener.
What's his name?
Daisy.
Is Daisy your lover, Bob?
Yes.
You been banging her?
Yes.
You the man.
I'm the man.
There you go. All right. Marcus Allen from the NFL today.
Okay, let me ask you about those mannequins that you have to work with. Now, who would you rather be trapped in a room with? George Seifert or Brent Jones?
Good question.
Figure
I
out.
I the white guy. What do you think about that one?
The white guy.
The Don and Mike Show.
This is Jeremy Coleman speaking for the Don and Mike Show. Happy Christmas and a Merry New Year.
Hey, middle lady. Come sit on Santa's lap. So what do you want for Christmas?
Oh, Santa, what I really want is a Don and Mike Christmas.
I'm dreaming of a Don and Mike Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the lady of God
show anytime for free at 1-800-636-1067. But please, turn your radio down. And no calls to play the name game. No who would you do calls. No calls about rating women. And no calls asking when are we coming to your town. That's 1-800-636-1067.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish. This is the spot. Hello, Santa.
Hi, poker buddies.
Poker buddies!
Poker, I hardly knew her.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. George Seifert and all the ships at sea. Despite Henry Hyde's request, they will not resign. So here is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Rob. I don't remember a lot.
I don't either.
From our game on Saturday.
My memory is just not what it used to be.
But I remember this. I was a big, fat, hairy winner.
You were the winner in poker day on Saturday.
No.
Saturday.
No doubt about that. Saturday, not to be confused with tomorrow.
Or Wednesday.
Wednesday. Today.
Today.
Tomorrow.
Now.
Wednesday.
A week from today.
Okay, listen. We will explain all of this in just a moment. First, let me say hello and thank you for listening coast to coast and nationwide. Still be a best good son, darling. Don Geronimo. With Mike O'Mara right here. That's why we still to this day call it the Cotton Pickin' Don and Mike Show.
I, too, won a hand.
coming to you once again from WJFK in Washington, D.C., where the jackal has a son with three sixes on his skull. His name is Douglas.
That's right.
Jackal reports to Cufflinks.
Jackal is here today.
Wow. Cufflinks is the 23rd most powerful person in sports, according to the new issue of the Sporting News.
That's correct.
Cufflinks talks to Ephraim, whose nickname is Egypt.
Because that's where he was in our most recent contract negotiation.
His other nickname is Prostate.
That's right.
So you got it set. Ken is Jackal. Mel is Cufflinks. Ephraim is Egypt.
There they are, the three big players.
We do the show every day on Westwood One. We're trying to change that, but as of right now, they're still our network. They've cleared the show on 61 affiliate stations with 4.5 million listeners. For that, we're grateful. Now listen, Mom. All you soccer moms, I hope you know the drill by now. I hope you took your kids and did that duck and roll thing.
That's right.
Because I have just whipped it out right there in front of all of you.
Man, everybody stay close to the ground.
Hey, you. In his splendor, says, shake hands. That's what he says. That's George. I've just whipped it out. Another major market opening. This big time radio show. And now say hello to my friend, my left and your right. You loved him as Shakes the Clown. When we play poker with Buzz, we call him Mr. Palsy. Here is our friend, Shakes Burbank. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Very nervous, very shaky when you deal the cards.
Not so much nervous, just sloppy, just not smooth.
Now, you said you were going to rehearse. I don't think you did.
No, I really didn't.
No, I didn't
have time. Now, listen, Buzz not only this time managed, he's the only guy when we play cards, has to stand up, and slowly, he doesn't deal them out. He takes each card and sets it in front of the person.
And then slides it over to the... That is his dealing technique for not wanting to, I guess, throw the cards.
I don't want to expose the card. I don't want it to flip over. And I wasn't the only one who stood, by the way.
Who else stood?
I don't remember now. Somebody else stood the deal.
And how many times did you spill Eric Bickle's beverage when you were trying to deal?
Just once in very tight quarters.
Well, more than once, Buzz.
No, but then at the end, at the very end of the game, when we played low heart, high spade.
Right,
and it was showdown or whatever, the last hand.
Yeah, no, Buzz won his money there.
The big winner at the end of the day went home with money.
Hooray.
Unlike some of us.
I was a huge winner of the
day,
though.
You were halfway through the game.
Cleaned you boys out.
You'd established yourself. You had the bank over there, and when we were all going to the well, I started strong and had that gaping hole in the middle where I really was just thinking about crying. I just wanted to sit at the table and cry.
Yeah. You had a nice big run where you started to recoup some of your losses.
Yes. At the end, I ended up breaking even, which for me, compared to what I normally leave your house with, was absolutely a winning day for me.
Great.
And sad to report that the big losers of the day were Johnny Cakes.
Yes.
And Eric Bickle.
Yes, Cakes and EB had a rough day. They had a very, very rough day.
They were very bitter about it also. They were not happy.
I like daytime poker, though. That was fun. I enjoyed that.
Now, listen, before we start talking about the poker, I got a whole bunch of other weekend stuff. And, of course, it was a calamity at my house. Nobody talk about that, please, until I'm ready to talk about that.
I promise I won't say a word until you're ready to talk about it.
Okay, stop it, please.
Okay.
Is Tom Shales ready to come on the show? Because I don't want to get into the middle of talking about the fireplace problems we had. and then have Broyho come running in as soon as I'm in the middle of something good and say, hey, Tom Shales is on the telephone.
Tom Shales did a great job. He did not disappoint regarding his review of Kathy Lee's Christmas special.
No way. And you know what I noticed when I read this first thing in today's Washington Post? Tom Shales, a Pulitzer Prize winner, and this whole big thing about Kathy Lee. It's not so much that he wrote specifically about how bad her Christmas special was.
Right.
It's just like a chance for him to generically run her into the ground.
Yeah. False piety. That's a word that he's, it's a term that he's used before. The phony piety. That's exactly what it is with it. You know, there he goes again. You know, not they're not $100 words. They're easy words, but man.
No, listen. Here, listen to this. You know, what do we say about her? We say that she's a pretentious bitch. She's a phony.
That's correct, yeah.
He writes she's tepid, torpid, and trippy.
Wow.
Hey, that's, you know what I mean? That's a Pulitzer Prize winner right there.
False piety, faked sentiment, and aerobic grinning.
Now, is this Tommy? If this is Tom, I'm going to be very happy. Then the show will be starting off on a good note this week. Hello?
Good. Tom Shales?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
There
it is.
Tom Shales, first off.
We don't even screen you now, Tom. We're so excited about the column you wrote.
Let me simply...
You mean I'm on the air?
Yeah, oh, yeah,
absolutely,
you're on the air,
Tom.
On the radio?
On the radio, live.
You're on the radio. And
on the radio, okay.
We are here for our annual kiss-ass feast with you because you outdid yourself. This year's... No. Now, listen. This year, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, I thought more than just being a point-by-point attack on Kathy C's Christmas special, this year, it was kind of... generic about her show.
Just generic Kathy Lee bashing a little
bit. And moreover, just your chance to take 1,000 or so words and just run her into the ground. I thought it was a beautiful column. Were you not happy with it?
No, but if you are, I am, I guess.
We're delighted. I mean, well, the first paragraph, right there, you got us. We know what's coming. It's fantastic.
Well, listen, you know, we set this up on Friday when Tom was gracious enough to come on the air, and he hadn't seen the TV special yet.
Yep.
Tom, I will tell you this, that my wife and I, we could only stand to watch the first 5 minutes of it. We had to change the channel. Did you actually watch the entire thing?
I watched the whole thing and taped it, and now the tape is being buried like nuclear waste far in the outermost reaches of Upper Marlboro.
Well, this is Tom Shales, Washington Post. And how many newspapers did this review go to today, Tom?
Well, it'll go to about 100 in a slightly edited form.
There you go.
Yeah, after the lawyers get through with it. No, there's nothing litigatable in it.
Right. Let me give you just a couple of highlights. I got some Christmas music going here.
A little Mannheim steamroller to accentuate things.
And I'd like to point out that these are my feelings. I am not an educated man like Tom Shales. You know, I just say she's a phony.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand her. Tom, these big words, you kill me. It's fantastic. Here's the headline, which I don't think Tom writes.
No.
It says, Kathy Lee Bah Humbug. What's the difference between the 24-hour flu and a Kathy Lee Gifford Christmas special?
23 hours!
That's what I said about the first paragraph. It was great.
You could have really stopped there, I think.
No, it was. I'd say you could have, and you would have crystallized it.
You wouldn't want to catch either one if you could help it. But when CBS refused to make this year's edition of the agonizing event available in advance to TV critics, one such critic, instead of being grateful for the unintentional kindness, was tempted to tune in anyway to see how or if things have improved. He should have known better. Big mistake.
There you go.
The special had more aura de horror than Holiday Glow and proved punishingly similar to previous efforts. In other words, it might have been called I Saw What You Did Last Christmas. And the one before that. Now tell me something, Tom. I'm going to break in here for a second. Just this beginning part?
Yes.
Is this wrong? Off the top of your head, you just sit down at your laptop and start typing this?
Off the lap, top of my lap, yeah. What did you say? Yes, whatever you said.
I mean...
No, it's right from the heart, though, too.
Oh, yeah, there's a
top
passion.
Top of my heart and the top of my head.
You know, Mike, that's what I wanted to know. Is this is easy for you to write because
it's passion.
It's what you really think, right?
Sure.
Well, plus she's a pretty easy target. I mean, you know, she doesn't... she never learns from her mistakes, and she keeps plugging away there. And maybe she got good ratings. Honestly, I don't know yet.
You know, I should tell you, though, and one of the things that's refreshing about a column like this is, you know, she is an easy target, but this is a woman who in many, many publications across the fruited plain is deified. You go into the supermarkets and you can't pick up a magazine, Good Housekeeping, Red Book, where they don't say
she's all over
the
it.
Struggle of Kathy Lee and her wonderful triumph. And so this is just, you know, it's nice to see a little balance.
Just desserts. Okay, let's get back to it.
Oh, I'm sorry, but, you know, you guys egg me on, but I'll get lots of hate mail on this. I'll just sort of forward it over there.
You know what, Tom? If you'll send your hate mail to us, I promise we'll read it on the air. Every single one.
Okay.
The actual title for this year's exercise in false piety, fake sentiment, and aerobic grinning was Kathy Lee Gifford, Christmas Every Day. An appalling prospect any way you look at it. This is the kind of TV to be watched, not from the couch, as it were, but while peering out from behind it and using it as a shield, as if perhaps an air raid or some other sort of massive bombing were in progress. You try to give it your wholehearted attention, but that, see Tom Shales, C7, hold up. But that isn't easy with a half-hearted production. Gifford does, of course, give the impression of throwing herself into the project. With a vengeance, some might say. And yet there's always the sense of the cut rate about the show.
You're fantastic. You find every way to cut her down, man. This year's version, which aired at 10 p.m. Friday on CBS, an odd hour for a family-oriented show, was taped in Beaver Creek, Colorado, featuring the U.S. Air Force Academy Cadet Choral and the Denver Young Artists Orchestra as Gifford's accompaniment. What do these two groups have in common? They work cheap.
Yeah.
They're composed of amateur or semi-pro musicians who probably do not have union cards. Again, I'm going to stop it there to give you a tip of the hat. I never would have thought to come at her like that. That's beautiful, Tom. That's...
Yep.
Well, you know, I suspect CBS pays her a large fee to produce the special. Anything she doesn't spend, she keeps. So
yeah, no,
I think that's why we get these amateur musicians from the Air Force Academy.
And I think we read between the lines, and I think you have crystallized it once again. You've identified the lust of money that this woman has.
All right, now we're going to get to the good stuff here.
The real meaning of Christmas.
Sure.
The cast also included, naturally, Gifford's two children. The fidgety but cute little girl, Cassidy, 5.
One of the few nice things you write in the column, Tom.
But he even wrote that she's fidgety, though.
That's right. I had to put fidgety in there.
Well,
yes, she's fidgety.
Kids are fidgety.
Hardly got to say one word. And the brightly polished Cody, 8, who was reluctant to shut up during a session of questions from the Bible about, yes, the real meaning of Christmas. There's nothing like being lectured about the real meaning of Christmas by a heavily coiffed Vegas-y diva wearing a bare-shouldered black evening gown and braying into a handheld microphone. Said guest Pam Tillis accurately to Gifford, "You are bad. Look at you."
Yes, she is.
Tillis's face bears at least a slight resemblance to Hillary Rodham Clinton's. An appropriate name to drop since both Gifford and Clinton have suffered the public embarrassment of hubbies who famously philandered.
You got it in there, Tom. Way to go. I didn't know how you'd get it in there, but you got it in there. Bravo.
Way to go. But wait, hold on. We're getting up to... Every year I wonder, how is Tom Shales going to describe the appearance of Frank Gifford? And it's coming up. Here we go. Hubbies who have famously philandered. Gifford's husband, Frank, rolled out onto the stage in his usual quasi-mummified state, was videotaped in a hotel room with a 46-year-old former flight attendant in 97. He's sported a sappy sheepishness ever since. Beautifully done. Now, we are to believe Frank's been forgiven and the marriage is stronger than ever. Or at least Kathy Lee is stronger than ever. She looked like she could bench press a horse. The woman is tough. The woman's got grit. When Kathy Lee attacks a song, she takes no prisoners. And the victim is always left lifeless on the stage. You have to admire her tenacity, if not her audacity. And Tom, I'll tell you something. Stop the music, please. That's like a little Johnny Cochran there. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Oh,
if it does not fit, you must acquit that slave. You have to admire her tenacity, if not her audacity.
That must be my influence.
Sure. Beautiful. Very nice. Okay, hiring Tillis was a good idea, since her singing may actually be more irritating than Kathy Lee's. It's that there hog-calling kind.
Now, there you go with the Pam Tillis fans, too. You're going to get a few letters from them, Tom.
Oh.
Tillis sang a medley of Those Sacred Tunes, We Three Kings, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, and My Favorite Things. Oops. How'd that last one get in there? With great difficulty. At one point, Tillis actually sang, We Three Kings of Our Favorite Things. The bill also included NSYNC, one of those teenage boy groups that flit by every so often, except its members actually range in age from 17 to 27. Their clothes don't fit and they don't project the sexual aggressiveness of Backstreet Boys or Boys to Men or any of the more popular such...
Aggregation.
Wow, hey, that's one hell of a word, Tom.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Aggregation, that means like other stuff like, right?
It means groups.
Groups.
I could have said groups, but why say groups?
Yeah, aggregations. Yeah, no. It's good, especially when you're talking about sexual aggressiveness.
Good. So they were apparently pure enough for Gifford's audience. One fellow had his hair flat-topped and braided in such a way as to make it look like one of Mamie Eisenhower's old hats.
Oh, man. You know, you're going to write the. You know, if they read these, nobody's going to go on that show, and perhaps it'll die a nice, merciful death.
Well, then I won't have been vain for nothing.
That's right.
Now, there's always an act desperate to
of
be
course.
On television.
That's right.
Yeah.
Having shot for Christmas cards in our favorite stationers.
Stationers, yeah.
And finding them not Christmassy enough, Gifford told the audience,
she decided to write a song. And so I sat down and the words came to me. May our heart become a manger for his love. And I went home and couldn't get these words out of my mind. And so I wrote some more words. And the rest, thank heaven, is history. Because after Friday night's performance, no one is likely ever to sing Kathy Lee's original song again. With the possible exception of Kathy Lee.
Kathy Lee!
Gifford tenses all her muscles to sing, it seems.
I'd like to stop you right there and tell you that this next part, if you'll start this again, to me, is the single best part of the column. Because you've nailed it as far as this is what I don't like about watching Kathy Lee when she sings.
All right, I'll take it from the top.
Okay.
Gifford tenses all of her muscles to sing, it seems, as if her whole body is grimacing. And so one wonders, if it hurts her so much, why does she do it?
Yeah!
It's not as if we couldn't live without it. After she sang, and you know what, Mike, I'm going to disagree with you. I think that this next little bit was the best part of the article. After she sang, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, the same song popped up in a commercial for Glade Air Freshener. Except Glade's version was more emotionally affecting. And then you come to the triple T's, Tom. Tepid, torpid, and trippy. The special trundled on. You got four T's there. You got tepid, torpid, trippy, trundled.
Bad writing.
That's fantastic. Losing momentum rather than gaining it. Where, oh, is a cable outage when you really need one? At least Gifford gave fair warning. She was out there singing from the very beginning, a medley of Sleigh Ride and Let It Snow. Please, one might have prayed, in the name of all that's holy, let it stop, let it stop, let it stop.
Bravo.
Tom Shales.
Now, for people that don't read you in those cities around the country, they got a chance to hear that
Tom
column.
Tom Shales.
You guys make it sound much better than it is.
Oh, listen, that's terrific.
I want to tell you something. That is the text of the Christmas card that my family will be sending out this year. You are a great, great television writer. But
like a little Christmas card that you give to us. I mean, I know it goes out to everybody in your vast readership, but I'll tell you right now, we love that, Tom. And it has to be a little fun to write that column.
Well, I guess so. But I always hope that this one is the last one, you know, but she keeps coming back.
Yes, she does.
And if she's going to come back, I'm going to come back.
There you go.
And last question on this topic. Now, does it ever get back to you? Because, you know, she'll say, well, I don't read Tom Shales. I don't, I don't care what the critics say. But you know this bitch reads this. Right when she's, you know, on the toilet. She reads it. Does it ever get back to you? Has it gotten back to you yet that she's read this and perhaps she's upset with you?
Well, the first year I was told she cried, and that made me feel bad. But she cries a lot, so that's not too bad. She cries at Pepsi commercials, you know.
Right.
So I felt guilty for a while, but so many people encourage me in this that I guess I must be doing some sort of service.
Yeah. Now, we'll continue to encourage you, Tom Shales.
Thanks. You are. Happy holidays, Tom Shales.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Tom Shales, thanks for coming back on. I love reading that for you. We'll see you next Christmas, Tom.
It's a date.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Oh, man, that's great.
Isn't that guy?
It's fun.
That guy is so good with the pen and the paper, isn't he?
He is. And, you know, the thing about it is it's becoming quite a tradition. It really is. And there are people that wait for this column, like us. And he does a great job. He really does. A lot of fun.
He's so good, man. He's so good.
You know, and you don't know. You see Bah Humbug, and you know it's going to come up. And then the very first sentence here, what's the difference between the 24-hour flu and a Kathy Lee Gifford Christmas special? 23 hours. And you know, you got it, you know. I mean, I think I went, yeah, because I knew it was what was coming up. It's great.
And like I said, then we'll change the topics. We got lots to talk about. Not so much even a critique of her special, which sucks. Mm-hmm. Just like the opportunity once a year to aim the cannon right at her big fat head.
Right.
And boom, he fires, man. Tom Shales, great article. We urge you. For our listeners who can read.
He gets the joke, ladies and gentlemen.
We urge you and your newspapers around the country to read this. And if you can't read, have someone you love read it to you.
Yes. Very good.
Because I don't do it justice.
That's terrific, man. That's a lot of fun.
Because you just got to sit and reread it a couple of times.
And the Washington Post took the the syrupiest, sappiest picture of Kathy Lee with Pam Tillis to put on the cover of the style section. It was great.
Christy's good. It's as if her whole body is grimacing.
I know.
If it hurts so much, why does she do it?
Why did she do it?
Have yourself a Merry Christmas. And a commercial for Glade.
I know.
That Glade's version was more emotionally offensive.
That's right.
Tepid, torpid, and trippy. The special trundled on, losing momentum.
Way to go.
And you know one other person that has the same reaction as you and me on the He'll Never Let On?
Who's that?
Regis Philbin.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure. You got to know when Regis was taking his dump this morning.
No, he's just laughing out loud.
He's sitting on the crapper and he's going, Joy!
Oh, this is great.
Joy! Regis, what are you... And his wife comes to the door. Regis, what are you doing in there?
Joy, they said that the Glade air freshener commercial is more emotionally affecting. God, that kills me.
Reg, your prostate. You've been in there so long, my Reg.
Oh, man, it's great. 23 hours. That's the best. I got to call Gilman. And Gilman's right in the tub, you know, right next to him.
And you know, halfway through all of that,
mm-hmm.
when he's laughing and mm-hmm. having just a big old, just a giggle fest,
mm-hmm.
then Kathy Lee calls. And then he has to go like, oh, I got to talk to her.
They're so unfair to you with your talent. I don't understand why they bash you. You don't worry. You're fantastic. Goodbye.
Yeah, meanwhile, he's got the whole thing memorized. That's fantastic. Well, that's how you start a show with a Pulitzer Prize-winning writer.
Mm-hmm.
And my dramatic reading of the greatest column that Tom Shields writes every single year.
The thing about that, you don't need to watch the special. All you have to do is listen to this show and hear the column, and you're all set. You know, you really don't need to watch it and go through that agony.
Like I say, feel free to turn it on for about 5 minutes mm-hmm. on Friday night.
Right.
And she finally said, listen, I know you like watching this to goof on it, but please change the station.
It's agony.
Because she was doing that, sleigh bells are ringing.
No.
Are you... Listen,
it really doesn't even fit, does it, into the so bad it's good category, because it's just passable pablum garbage, and it's her false piety, which is, you know, riddled throughout the special.
You got to hate her to get into it.
Yeah.
You really do.
You got to have a passion to hate her.
And I love the way that he gets on GIF.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's right about GIF, man. Yeah, you know, come on out of the oxygen chamber, GIF, and come do your appearance on the Kathy C. Show.
I'll be right there, Kathy.
I'd be interested to know what the ratings were for that also, because they buried that with a 10 p.m. time start.
10 p.m. for the family hour. The family hour. That's when they put it on CBS.
Hello?
Hey, Don, got the munchies?
Cody Gifford calling right there.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, this is Buzz. I'm sorry, who's this?
Yeah, right. This is Buzz. Hi, my hands are shaking right now because I'm very nervous dealing the cards.
Okay, well, Buzz, my name is Rob, and first of all, belated welcome back to you to hear that you survived the way you did.
Thank you.
Well, I wanted to ask them if they watched the Barbara Eden thing.
Now, who are you talking to now?
He's talking to me, Buzz.
Oh, okay.
And frankly, I don't care what they watch because they spent most of Saturday afternoon making fun of the way my hands shake when I was trying to deal poker.
I guess it'd be easiest to tip a card from the bottom of the deck that way, wouldn't it?
It would if my hands didn't shake so uncontrollably.
Now, Barbara Eden had a special...
And there was one other thing that I would like to say on behalf of myself, Buzz Burbank.
Yes, what's that, Buzz?
I'd like to apologize to all of the other players for constantly slowing the game down by never remembering what the wild card was. I'd like to apologize right now, being as I've got the stage right now.
Thank you, Buzz, and congratulations on winning the last hand. Congratulations on being the big pot winner of the day.
I deserved it.
You got all the money at the end there.
But goodness knows, I was thinking about giving the money back to each of you guys equally because
we'll accept that, Buzz.
I know the amount of aggravation that I...
Buzz, you're not laughing at this.
No, I'm not. I caused you guys during the game.
No, I'm not. You can have your money.
But,
it's a joke.
Probably handle the money better than you did handle the cards, though, right?
Sure. Oh, you.
All right,
go away, you.
Come on now, Buzz. Don't be pissed. I'm just kidding you.
All right.
I'm just kidding you. We goof on you for the dealing. That's
all. Of course.
That's the only thing.
I understand. It's just a little fun. It's little cards.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
God damn it, Don. Congratulations.
Oh, winning a poker. Yeah, it's about
time. What, man, you won me $20.
Oh, is this one of the guys that was actually foolish enough to bet on our poker game?
That's right. Every time you guys play, I do.
Well, you know something? It's a safe bet. It's not necessarily a safe bet to always bet on Don, but I think it's a very safe bet to never bet on me. Because I, right now, that was the. I believe that Saturday, that was the best I could do, and I lost almost everything.
It was a furious comeback.
Yes, it was, to break even.
Because
to break even.
You had reached the point where I know if it had just been you and I.
Right.
I know I would have seen the real temperament.
Yes, I was.
That was boiling underneath.
Not happy for a good hour and a half during that game. It was very frustrating.
Now, Don, did you start out good, or did you have to come back and win, or what?
Consistent.
How did Bickle play, too?
Consistent winner. Eric Bickle.
Big loser of the day, I believe.
The biggest loser.
But that's
really?
After he's won a couple of times, so it's okay.
Well, he's won every time you guys have played, hasn't he? Besides this time.
Yeah. Eric and Johnny were the big losers. Although, you know what? I'm here busted on Buzz's ability to deal the cards.
Mm-hmm.
I am equally retarded when it comes to knowing what I have in my hand. More than one time, when, like, it's everybody's trying to bet and stuff.
Right.
When, like, the game was still in progress.
Yes.
I just laid down my cards.
You weren't the only one that did that. Everybody got excited. But the one that did that more than anybody, Johnny Cakes Auto,
oh.
Who would say, I got a full house. We haven't finished betting yet.
And one time Johnny said, I got a full house. And he laid them down and he went, look, 9, 10, jack, queen. Everybody went, where's the king? He went, well.
Yeah, I thought he had a straight and he didn't have a straight.
Yeah, right. That's so right. Then he recounted his cards.
Let's see, I got 9, 10, jack, queen, eh? Well. Oh, I don't have a straight. There you go.
No, but I did the same thing.
Anyway, congratulations, Don. Merry Christmas to you both.
Thank you. Thank you, Betty.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, Rob also won some money.
Well, Rob wins. Rob wins every time because he's the dealer. He's actually the money guy, the banker. And so Rob will come into a game with probably $5 and usually go home with $300 to $400, depending on the amount of money.
The banker doesn't give you any advantage. I only won $27.
Oh,
yeah, the banker doesn't have any advantage at all.
I won one hand. Look, Carrie, I won one hand. And I've got $400 here.
Well, I think you about broke even.
Yeah.
Buzz,
I'm 20 in the hole after the sandwiches.
Buzz, you about broke even.
I made about $15, actually.
There you go. Oh. Well, now that doesn't. How could that be then? Was there that much money?
Well, he won.
Oh, he won that the last hand that was like $8, right?
Yeah, because we had that all that money in there at the very end because it was the last hand, and I liked that. And then we played a quick game of showdown, and you liked the Texas Hold'em game that you were so skeptical of.
Loved it. Well, I loved it because I won at it.
And kudos to Rob for learning that game and showing us how to do
good
it. And it was a good game.
Yeah, I didn't mean to pussy out on you guys at the end. Like, everybody wanted to make these big bets at the end.
Right.
But because I had won my $30, I wouldn't make any bets.
That's the way to do it.
That's smart. I would just bet 25 cents, and I'd say, nah, forget it. I'm out.
It's not like, you know, we're playing the high stakes anyway, you know, as we count our nickels and dimes.
$30.
$30, it adds up.
I paid for the movies. We all went to the Star Trek movie on Saturday night.
And if you'll notice, at the end of the game, too, I was like, let's up the stakes. Let's up the stakes. Desperately clawing my way, trying to somehow put money into my wallet for a change.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don and Mike, I love you guys, but I have to respectfully disagree with you about the special this year.
What special?
Hold on,
slow down. You talking about Kathy C. Gifford?
Yeah.
Oh, please.
Oh, my God.
Excuse me, can I just say something? The song she sang, the original song she wrote, I'm commissioning for the church that I sing for.
Well, I think that's one of the dumbest moves I've ever heard.
Oh, well, it's a good song. And
That's the CFCW, right? The Church for Challenged Women.
Just in time for Christmas, you came along.
Oh, she was setting this up.
Just in time for
it's
Christmas.
The same lady.
Yeah.
You're
right.
Bravo, right. You got us hook, line, and sinker.
This is the same lady that called on Friday, right?
Yes, it is.
There you go. Bravo to you.
Come on, you hate her as much as we do. Come on, get out of here. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Okay, man, put on the girls. Famoso.
It wasn't GIF, I don't think.
Hello, Donna Misha. Damn, I got to learn another language.
He didn't like the Kathy Lee special. Didn't care for it, Buzz.
That's that guy. We're going to have to kill that guy.
We're going to have to kill him. That's New Year's resolution. We're going to kill him.
Got to kill him in 99.
Yeah, no other punishment. Just kill him.
Donna Misha. Hello. That guy just calls up to say dirty words. Hello. Oh, you know what? I had to delay him out twice, so I can't even go back to the telephone doctor. He said so many dirty words.
He's a very bad young man. Young man who will be punished by death.
Listen, as long as I got a chance here. Well, we should do what commercial said anyway.
All right.
Now, let me preview today's show, okay? As if having a Pulitzer Prize winning author on was not enough.
Tom Shales, fantastic guy.
We got some more stuff about the poker game to tell you and how I almost burned down my house again with everybody there.
Yep.
Also today, Leah Remedy's coming on the show. She's the star of King of Queens. And tonight, our picture goes up on the refrigerator of the set of King of Queens.
Tonight is the night, our network TV debut.
Yay. Tonight is also the first night of Hanukkah, or as you Jewish people call it, Chanukah.
Chanukah, that is the correct pronunciation.
And the guy will be coming in with his dreidels.
Dreidels.
Dreidels for Chanukah.
That's right, and his latkes, potato pancakes, for Latkes.
Yes, named after, what's his name? Andy Kaufman.
Latke Gravis.
Andy Kaufman on Taxi.
Latke Gravis.
Tonight is the first night of Hanukkah, and the guy that comes in with the potato pancakes and the dreidels and educates us as to what Hanukkah's all about. He's coming on the show today.
I don't want to put any pressure on this guy, but I'm looking for an updated, upgraded dreidel this year. You know, the ones we've had in years past are nice, but it always seems to be a little better each year. So I'm hoping that perhaps the dreidels are made out of a metal.
And a money metal. Today is, or was it yesterday?
Money metal dreidel.
When is Charlie Stewart's Dablag's birthday? Was it yesterday, Rob?
Yesterday. He turned 58.
It was yesterday. I hate to take you away from that first snack of the show, Rob. What are you enjoying for lunch today, Rob? What are you having right now?
$27 worth of ham sandwiches.
$27 worth of ham sandwiches. So it was yesterday was his birthday.
Right.
And he is 58?
Yeah.
We will be celebrating the 58th birthday of Charlie Stewart Stabilek on today's show also.
He planned on celebrating both days, both yesterday and today. He did celebrate yesterday, but I'll have you know that he's got a little problem.
Oh. Well, I look forward to hearing about that problem.
A little diarrhea.
I haven't had the chance to see Charlie yet.
Ate a lot of his favorite foods yesterday.
And listen, all this week, special stuff every day, because it's the last week before Christmas.
Right.
Friday, we're giving away $5,000 to one person.
Oh, boy!
To pay off all your Christmas credit card debt. And if you want in on that, be caller number 100 right now at 1-800-636-1067. Good luck, and then we're coming right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Regrets about that because you have been by some television critics. Tom Shales from the Washington Post and others have said that you have thrust your toe-headed Moppet into the public eye in a way that's not fair to them.
Well, it's interesting that those kinds of criticisms usually come from people who don't have children. The man is a good writer, and that's it. Somebody that I respect a lot in the entertainment field was trying to explain to me why certain writers are so sort of vicious, and he said, you know what, Kathy, I think they somehow think you're this mouthpiece for the radical religious right.
Keep killing.
I told you it would work. The Don and Mike Show.
And incidentally, I just named Tom Shales godfather to my son, Bart.
Way to go.
Brilliant.
I think that's a wonderful move.
So now, technically, he has kids. Of course, I have to run that by my wife.
She'll say it's okay.
Yeah. But honey, he writes a great column every year about Kathy Lee Gifford.
Yeah, I was reading excerpts to my wife this morning, and you know she shares a little of the joy, but not the incredible joy that I get out of it. You know, I read that first paragraph of that first sentence about 23 hours, and I look over and she's like, "That's nice, very clever, boys."
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, caller 100 time, and it's you. Who is this, please?
This is Cheryl.
Cheryl, where are you from?
I'm from Las Vegas.
Cheryl, thank you for listening on 105.1 FM. You have won a toy. A sex toy.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. A nasty toy from the Forbidden Fruit. Forbidden Fruit is a store for erotic adults. They're on the web at forbidden-fruit.com. But wait, there's more. Not just a Christmas dildo. There's plenty more. You've also qualified to win $5,000 that were given away on Friday's episode. One person wins $5,000 to pay off all their Christmas credit card debt.
Thank you very much.
And that is courtesy of Mortgage and Equity Funding Corporation. Their phone number is 703-691-8345. So make sure you, please make sure you're listening on Friday's episode, okay?
I will be.
Because if you don't listen, if you don't listen, you can't limb.
That's correct.
I will be listening.
Thank you very hard. Hold on, please.
That is according to Spob Reback.
And we will be having another Furby giveaway today also.
Oh, my God.
I'm not sure if it will be violent or not, but I know this. I know that every time that we've tried to do a nice, warm, and fuzzy Furby giveaway, mm-hmm. it blows. But every time we do one where we pit people against each other, like animals going for one piece of meat, it's always killer. It's always fantastic.
And I think after, you know, a long weekend in the malls on Saturday and Sunday, I think people are ready to maybe duke it out today.
Yeah.
I know I would be. I logged a little time in the malls. I'm ready to smack somebody.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We went to the movies on Saturday night.
Was it crowded there, too?
Christ, what a mess it was. It was a Star Trek movie, so I was there with all my Star Trek brethren. You know, lots of them wearing the costumes with the communicator pins and all.
The whole theater kind of smelled like sweat and bad wiping.
However, I'll say this. Let me just say this about going to the premiere of the Star Trek movie. You're going on the first weekend that it's out.
Okay.
The one good thing about that is because all of the people going to see that movie the first weekend are so into Star Trek, like no talking during the movie.
Ah.
And on the rare occasion that someone would actually have their bag of popcorn and you'd hear this, a million heads at once would turn around and you hear,
shh. How are we supposed to enjoy this film if you're going to be rattling your popcorn box?
That's the one thing that was fantastic. Of course, on the downside,
right.
Because this is, and keep in mind, this is a relative term, the funniest of the Star Trek movies.
Real laugh riot right up there with Adam Sandler.
You would think you were watching The Waterboy, the way that the people laugh.
And it's always, isn't it always like some space-related dry remark that sends them into convulsive laughter?
Here's the first joke. The first joke is that they got to have dinner with a bunch of squirrely-looking aliens, and they're putting on their dress uniforms, mm-hmm. and Deanna Troi comes in and says, hey, listen, they don't like eating regular food. They eat flowers, okay? Uh-huh. So then Picard says something like, well, perhaps we should get together a big bowl of chrysanthemums and some daisies. And then, you know, it's like, in the theater. It's like, you know,
Patrick Stewart saved me. This is just what this film needed, a little levity. Oh, that's so funny.
I love it when Data cracks a joke. That's when it really makes me laugh.
And you know what? And keep in mind, I'm a Star Trek fan, and I will tell you that I like this movie. I like this one better than the other two.
Oh, good. This movie not only degraded the box office, but well-received by the critics.
Oh, but they're making Data, like, too goofy now.
And would Data approach MASH's overuse of Jamie Farr towards the end of the run.
Yes.
I mean, as a matter of fact,
it would help Data's character if they would start dressing him in a dress like they did with Klinger.
He's like a supporting character who is now taking point on a lot of these movies.
Listen, the pecking order is Picard,
right.
Riker, Data.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Poor Worf is way down there. Geordi LaForge, that's a cameo, man.
Right.
And the doctor, the good-looking redhead doctor, she must have had five lines of dialogue in this whole movie.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Is that Beverly Crusher?
Right. Yes, Dr. Beverly Crusher.
That redheaded doctor. I cannot believe you are referring to the woman who, for the longest period of time...
Well, I'm past her, Mike.
...was the total object of your affection, and
yeah,
now she is referred to Dr. Beverly Crusher is the redheaded doctor.
Yeah. Now, Deanna Troi...
Looking good again?
Mmm.
Ooh.
Very strong. One very nice scene where she's in a bathtub with Riker. Of course, you don't see anything because it's all bubbly and everything.
No Tig old bitties?
She's got him, though.
Oh, yes.
She's got the Tiggest bitties.
Always has been a handsome woman.
She does. And Riker had the Tig old donor. You know what I mean. I mean, unfortunately, the words big and boner start with B.
You can't do it.
I can't do the tingle bitties thing with him, but he was obviously aroused in the scene where he's in the bathtub with her. I mean, not obviously aroused. I assumed, and of course, when you assume making an ass out of you and me, I thought that he would probably be aroused being in the bathtub with her.
So he had a wig booty?
Yes, he did one. He had a wiggle booty.
A wiggle booty.
A wiggle booty.
And Data, listen, he's supposed to be an android robot.
Right.
Who is like there, if everybody else on the Enterprise goes crazy, you've got Data there.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what to do? Here's like the whole big thing with Data now. He's in the water. They're in a pond. They're in this big lake. They've all had to jump off a dock into this water.
He's got a Pobot Renus, right?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
And it's rarred as a hawk. Constantly. Constantly rarred as a hawk. He's constantly hawk rarred. Constantly.
Makes him a good alien.
So here's what they got him doing now. And, of course, when he was on TV, the guy kind of did look like an alien because they didn't have real close-ups and stuff, and you couldn't see that they just, like, put mascara on his face.
Yeah, I know. Right? I've seen even the trailers they run now. They got such extreme close-ups of Data that you can tell that he looks like somebody that's going on a Saturday night at midnight to go to the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
So one of these women that they find on this planet, she falls into this river, this pond, and she goes, oh, I can't swim. So, of course, Picard jumps in wearing a Starfleet uniform, swims out to save her, and Data swims out there, too. They get out there, and Data goes, if I am immersed in water, I can become a flotation device. And, like, that's the level of dialogue that Data has.
Was that when Picard climbed on his back?
And mounted him.
And then the movie really picked up steam.
And that's where all the Trekkies, like, when Data starts doing his crazy shtick.
Right.
That's when they're really just gales of billowing laughter throughout the theater.
I would say the average Trekkie probably identifies with Data more than any other character. I mean, he's
sure.
The type of, he's their guy. He's their guy done well, you know?
And not that much shoot 'em up.
Really?
You know? But at least, unlike other Star Trek movies, not that preachy. I mean, a lot of times in a Star Trek movie, you go and they just want to get across that goddamn message that everybody should love everybody.
But I heard it's a good, I heard it was a good story. A very good story? Was that true? I mean, was
it... it was all right.
You didn't like it.
I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it, okay?
There you go.
Let me put it like that. It was okay.
You wanted more violence.
23 minutes. That's the first time I checked my watch.
Oh, dear. Oh,
okay.
They've gone to the well too many times.
Let that be the warning to you. And F. Murray Abraham.
How is he famous Academy Award winning actor?
Let me say it again. F. Murray Abraham.
F. Murray.
Exactly. That guy's not a believable villain.
Bet he was in that chair. You know, we had that done one time, that kind of makeup. I bet he was in that chair for a long time.
Yeah, he did this thing like Morgan Fairchild getting a getting their face pulled back.
Right.
Getting the, you know, a tuck. It was just awful. Tuck. F. Murray Abraham. That's all I want to say about that. So it was okay. I mean, it was better than the other ones, but the other ones weren't that good either.
You think, well, they'll keep making them, I'm sure.
Oh, they try to stop being funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they want to show, we got to show Riker without his beard. We got to show Data making jokes. We got to show Picard singing and dancing.
Cool.
We got to see Geordi LaForge without his, how he wore that, like, beret on Star Trek to cover his eyes up?
Does he take off that thing and have boiled eggs for eyes now?
No, now his eyes are perfect.
Oh, well, see, that's the agent doing that. That's his agent going, you know, Geordi wants somebody to see his eyes.
Okay, let me tell you just one last jive thing for this movie. This will give you the exact flavor of the Star Trek movie.
Good.
And if any of you Trekkies don't like I'm talking about it, screw you. Y'all went to see it with me this weekend anyway.
Absolutely. We're going to be first in line. Come on now. Theater's being crowded.
Data goes crazy.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Data, like, has a malfunction and starts trying to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
So Data's out of control. And Picard is trying to get Data back because Starfleet just wants to kill Data.
Ooh.
And Picard says, oh, give me a chance. So he and Worf go up in a spaceship, and they're going to try to... Data's driving his own spaceship now, okay?
See, that's wrong. That's just not right.
There's one shot where they actually look out the window, and like Data's in the driver's seat of his rocket ship, and he looks out... And
with his wig old booty.
It's Picard.
Was he driving the spaceship with his wig old booty?
Just like Tommy Lee, Mike. Just like Tommy Lee in the Pam Anderson video.
Look at that spaceship move.
So they're driving along, and Picard's like going, Data, it's Captain Picard. Pull over, man. Pull over. And Data's not doing anything. So then Picard says, Mr. Worf, do you know who Gilbert and Sullivan are? And Worf goes, have they been recently assigned to the Enterprise?
Oh, God, they're not going to sing a Gilbert and Sullivan song.
Just wait. Picard says, before Data went nuts, he had been working on singing Gilbert and Sullivan tunes. So now here you go. Here's the way that they're going to distract Data so that they can shoot him down. Picard starts going, ahoy, ahoy,
yeah, Pirates of the
I
Caribbean.
See you now, my boy. And then while Data's going crazy, like, and firing his rocket gun off, he starts singing, too, because remember, unconsciously, this was his last memory. So he's like going, pshu, 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 ahoy, ahoy. And then Picard says to Worf, you got to sing it with me now, so we distract him. And Worf goes, Captain, I don't know the words. Well, then on the screen, on their little computer screen, the words come, and it's got the bouncing ball.
Sure. That's what they can do in space now with that technology. Oh, it's bigger than the Internet.
Christ.
Yeah. Mitch Miller right there in the spaceship. So Worf was able to sing, too, and the Data snap out of it.
Yeah, well, of course, yeah. When Data, they fooled him, because when Data got immersed in song, then they beamed him down to their ship, and then they were able to turn off his button.
His switch. Where was his switch located?
Well, normally, right by his wig old booty. That's what they had to do, was pull on his wig old booty. You know, I mean, I don't want to rip the movie apart because I had kind of a good time with it. Mm-hmm. But it's like I'm watching this and I'm going like, what, you know, they're singing? Why are they singing? They might as well have sang Gilbert O'Sullivan rather than Gilbert Ann Sullivan. Alone again. Naturally. And like the Trekkies were going crazy, like, oh, this is going on so many levels. You know, it's serious drama. They're flying the rockets. Just, but look.
Right.
Look, Picard is singing. Worf is singing. Data's singing. Yuck.
It's next to his Riggo Bechtum.
Yeah, that's where this would be. And this is the type of laughter that I heard in the theater.
Data let off a good one.
So I don't know if I would give that a thumb up or a thumb down. I didn't hate it.
It's a watch checker, though.
Yeah, oh, definitely a watch checker. See, I've gone in with the advantage of having Charlie Stossel, our movie man, tell me that the movie was only a little over 90 minutes long.
See, that's a bonus, too. And under any circumstances, that's a good bonus.
Still, I still checked the watch. Mm-hmm. Still had to check the watch. Not that good.
Not a good sign.
No.
Sort of a bucking four.
Yes, yes. An absolute bucking four, Mike.
Oh, getting dangerous now.
A mother bucking four is what it was, really. If you want me to be... I had to delete myself. It was hard to say effing honest.
Yeah, because honest has no, you know,
yeah,
good consonants on the front of it.
The H is like... Never mind. I just said it. I had to delete myself out because it sounded really, really dirty.
It's a dangerous game.
Oh, it is a fun, dangerous game.
Okay, there. Hello.
Hello, may I speak with Buzz, please?
Buzz, someone's on the line for you.
I can see that. Hello,
yes,
sir.
Here he is. Hello, sir.
Hello, Buzz.
Hello. Hello. Is this Jorge?
Hey, Buzz. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm lonely without you.
I bet.
I can no longer hear the show.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Buzz, how is your colon?
My colon couldn't be healthier, Jorge.
Is everything being digested well?
Everything digested excellently, thank you.
And how did it come out?
The usual way.
Oh, Jorge.
Come on, Jorge.
Kind of knew where he was going there, didn't we?
Come on, I had to disconnect that guy. Call Buzz in the office. Maybe you'll get the $1.06 for the news tip of the week. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How you guys doing?
Hey, fine.
Hey, I've got a cufflink story for you.
No, the only people that tell story about the cufflinks on this show is me and Mike.
Yeah, we don't tell stories. We tell the truth.
23rd most popular, excuse me, he's the number one most popular man in all of the world, but he's the 23rd most powerful man in sports.
I'm saluting right now. You can't see this on the radio, but I'm saluting.
The president of CBS.
You're here. Yes.
If that didn't make me...
happy, filled with joy.
That didn't make me the happiest man in the world when I was looking at that list.
That's right. Sure.
Said, boy, look at that list.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan.
Right.
Lee Steinberg.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Jones. Oh, cufflinks.
You know what that tells me? That he's the 23rd most powerful man in sports?
Mm-hmm.
It tells me that you are that much closer to a head coaching position in the NFL.
I wish, Mike.
That's right.
I wish.
And you'd
I wish
be the
that
first,
right.
You'd be the first head coach that wouldn't be on the sidelines. You'd be up there where all those guys are, right? Where the TVs are.
Yeah.
So you can watch the other games.
I'd be coaching from the stands. Either that or I wish he'd just let me take over CBS one of these days.
And program.
Yeah, right.
I see no reason why you can't do both.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, Radio God.
Yes, hello.
It's great to talk to you. How come you guys don't have, like, at 2 o'clock, I guess it'd be, or actually be at, 2 o'clock. How come you don't have a halftime show where you, like, recap other radio shit, station shows in progress, and, you know, kind of have highlights of your first half?
I thought I heard him say something.
Yeah,
like,
no, Mike, he didn't say that. We're all going to pretend that we didn't hear that.
We didn't hear that.
Then hear what?
You're exactly somewhere in the middle of that poorly phrased, inane question was, I thought, a nasty word.
Well, and to answer the almost unanswerable question, I think I understand the question. Why don't we, like, halfway through our show?
Have a halftime show.
Well, then why would anybody listen to the first half of the show if we were going to tell them what happened halfway through?
Have the highlights, and plus you could recap some of the, like, the fumbles.
No, 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 you're like an idea man. Look, get out of here. Just listen to the whole show.
And then, by the way, you forgot Dan Aykroyd's first Batmovie. It was a trick question because...
That is a horrible call. That is a horrible... You're a horrible caller.
Boo. Boo. Very bad on many fronts. Idea man.
Mm-hmm.
Very poor grammar.
Yeah. Right.
Talking about something on last week's show.
Terrible.
Very bad.
And just a real ween.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
You know, I'm not just diving into these calls without reason. On one of these lines, there is some serious Trekker.
Okay.
That wants, like, to argue with me because I've talked about the Star Trek movie.
How can you call that movie a bore? How can you call that movie a bore? Data is brilliant.
But no, no, you know, we got 12 lines on hold. I don't know which one it is. Hello.
Hey.
That's not you, is it?
No, it's not.
Oh, crap.
Sound like it could be, though.
You got the potential.
Just a little bit. A little too mellow, though.
Yeah. They take you off in Burlington, Vermont.
Yeah, we understand that. Our station changed format there. Nothing we can do about that.
What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm. Eat lead, sir.
Move. Move to where the food is.
I will find it.
Those are the two options we've given you. Either kill yourself or move somewhere where the show can be heard.
That's what I'll do.
Okay.
Good man.
Thank you.
It's a little tough when you're up there in that part of Vermont, you know, to move all the way down here to Washington, D.C. Or actually the closest would be he'd be able to go down to...
Can you go to Portland, Maine or something?
Portland, Maine or Worcester.
Good job. Sure.
Yeah. Cape Cod, you know.
We're all over New England.
Sure.
Yeah, Burlington, Vermont.
Yeah, boo!
F. Murray Abraham. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's up?
F. Scott Fitzgerald.
F. Lee Bailey.
Don's turn.
I'm trying. Give me a second.
F. Ross Perot.
Oh, F. Ross Johnson.
Oh!
That's a real one.
Yep.
Because your F. Ross Perot is just a...
That's right. Didn't he have it, though? Didn't he use it for a while there?
H.
Ross Perot. Okay, so you got F. Ross Johnson.
F. Herzog. That's for Rodney. Hey, hold on a second. Somebody's calling me on the hotline. Hello?
Boo-boo!
Yes?
The Tex-Mex is back.
Ooh. Oh, thank God. Listen, you don't
look
know.
You can see the look on his face, Frida.
I know that look.
You don't know the withdrawals I went through this weekend. I'm on this diet where I eat the same thing every day.
Mm-hmm.
I have a huge salad, and I have, like, red meat for dinner, mm-hmm. and the only treat that I allow myself to eat is cheddar cheese Chex Mix.
Sounds good.
No fat, very low carbohydrate. I get a couple of handfuls of that a day, and it, like, satisfies my need to eat bad food.
And they discontinued it for a while?
Well, no, I'm the only guy in the world that buys it. So,
you know, he starts to like something, and all of a sudden there's a run on it at the grocery store because they're not used to someone buying it in such mass quantities. It's the same with dietary Coke. It's the same with the syrup he puts in his coffee.
Then you know what else? Funny, you know what else? Green Giant, broccoli, and cheese... Before I started buying it, you could go in the store at any time, there'd be like 20 canisters of it in there. Now you go in our Safeway, it's never there.
Well, you know what they do? I think they have a very delicate formula for stocking and restocking. And if somebody throws that out of whack, you're going to go a week or two without having your favorite items in
there. So all weekend, I'm constantly saying to Fred, you know, because I can't drive for a month,
right.
Saying, please, take me to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take me to the store, and I would run in for 1 second. I'd say, damn, they're out of my Chex Mix.
Is it a brand name, Chex Mix? Is that what it is?
Chex, yeah.
C-H-E-X, the brand name?
Right.
Not generic or anything, like where you get it with a shovel.
No. Although I was desperate enough that I might have. And I did buy the traditional Chex Mix.
Right.
Which just didn't cut it, man.
You want the cheddar cheese flavor.
I love that stuff.
Well, I tried to buy it when I was buying his supplies, as he calls them, at the grocery store. And I thought I almost lost my job as wife when he saw that I had bought those until I explained that they were out of them. And but I cleaned.
She bought the traditional Chex Mix.
You're set to the year 2000.
Well, good. And listen, you can't argue with the results. Today we had I'm putting on my suit because we have a Christmas party Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
I put my suit on. Suit that I bought about a year ago, and then I had it taken in 4 months ago. I put it on today, the pants fall down to the floor again.
That's good.
So much GD weight, so we had to go back and have the suit altered again today.
Terrific.
Had two suits made out of that suit.
You cannot argue with my odd diet. It works, baby.
Whatever works, that's what's key.
I need that Chex Mix. I desperately need
healthy.
That. I need that to survive.
All right. Well, you're okay now.
Okay, I love you.
I love you too, boo.
Very good wife.
All right, good. Thank you.
Very good wife.
One of the reasons those suit pants fell to the floor was both pockets were full of that cheddar cheese Chex Mix.
That stuff's killer, man.
It sounds good.
I stopped by the carpet store, too, and I found out
I have to buy an entire new carpet. Honey, I haven't even talked about me hardly almost setting the house on fire this weekend.
Okay.
So don't blow it, kid. I haven't talked about that yet.
All right, well, good news was I can replace just that section of the house that you burnt down. I don't have to replace that whole carpet.
That's good news. That's good news.
Okay. Goodbye, sweetie.
Love you. Oh, listen, that Star Trek movie. What did you think of that?
It was good. I enjoyed it. There was humor in it. It wasn't a big shoot 'em up. It wasn't all machismo. It was a lot of sensitivity. I liked it.
See, everything I said. Okay, honey. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, now listen. Excuse me.
Yes.
Do we have time to do the break before Leah Remini? Well, she's made us wait before. Charlie, can she wait through one brief commercial set? Where's Charles Broyhill?
Waiting for Charles Broyhill, who will come in here in a moment.
Our producer. Charlie Broyhill.
Perhaps he's...
Hold on, here he comes.
He's
making the turn.
Any food?
Can she wait?
Yes.
Okay,
what's the matter?
Thank you.
My ribs are really sore.
Ooh. Why?
From playing football yesterday.
Oh, all right. I was going to feel sorry for you.
No.
I thought you really had like a problem. It didn't look like your ribs.
Problem.
It looked like, you know.
He was playing for the Redskins yesterday.
Yeah, we win.
That's weird. Do your ribs make you walk like you got a problem down near Data Swin?
Does it hurt to laugh? By his wiggle.
By his wriggle bectum.
All right, so she can wait?
Yeah.
All right, good. Let's do a quick set, and we'll come back then and have the...
You're funny.
You're funny watching you walk out of the studio like that.
Man. Looks like a painter's problem.
We'll have a Leah Remini from King of Queens when we come right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
Okay, FRIP, anyone want a soft serve?
Try listening with your feet on the windshield. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, now that we've changed our whole schedule around to accommodate her.
Yes, major television star.
Now we're waiting on Leah Remini.
Waiting for the phone to ring.
One, two.
Hey, Leah, how you doing?
Good, you guys have me on hold? I've been holding for 7 minutes, 8 minutes.
Oh, sorry.
What was so important?
There it is. This is the first sign right here, ladies and gentlemen. She's become a very big success in Hollywood.
Meanwhile,
I think
did
you can
get
tell.
The picture even?
We had to play our commercials. And our answer is yes.
Uh-huh.
We received the picture.
Good.
We received the beautiful letter that you sent us, and your beautiful lips that were on the beautiful letter.
We cannot tell you how delighted we are with the success of your show, King of Queens.
Absolutely.
And how delighted we are that you have made yourself available to us.
Always. I think it's because of you guys that we're doing pretty well.
Oh, please.
Don't patronize us, but I believe we do have a small part to do with your success.
I'm not.
All right, now listen. First off.
I can't be nice.
No, you can't. Not on this show.
First off, we have no problem with you. You're the greatest. A beautiful, wonderful woman treated us very nicely.
Thanks.
Please tell your teddy bear co-star, though, that he did the last time we were going to have him on the show.
Mm-hmm.
We went through the whole thing where we said, okay, 5:15,
right.
The great Kevin James calling in. We stop the showdown. We wait. Nothing.
Really?
Then he calls in the next day
right.
and said, oh, my agent told me the wrong time.
Sure.
You know, and what we said? That's the first sign that that show is becoming a goddamn hit.
Absolutely.
Can I tell you something, though? He even told me he was doing the show.
Well.
So they must have screwed up.
Well, you know what? We're enjoying.
He loves you guys.
Leah, we are really enjoying the ride right now because we know full well that there will come a time when, you know, the show is getting more successful and more successful, and we know that this cannot last forever.
Very
for
soon
us.
We'll be in your rearview mirror. Why, listen, I'll tell you when I had the thought for sure. It was when I was reading that. I'm reading this, and I'm sure you've read this, too. The Entertainment Weekly magazine.
What a rave.
Rave. You know, and I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, they're absolutely right. This is the funniest show on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely deserves an A. Mm-hmm. Cast is great.
Right.
We're going to be coming out in their stool pretty soon.
don't be a schmuck. That's so not true.
Oh, we're just, you know, we're cynics, and we're very insecure.
I'm going to be calling you. You guys have been really, really good to us.
Well,
I'm not going to not call you.
Your show, now we will tell you the truth, that your show has, King of Queens, tonight, 8:30 on CBS, has gotten funnier and funnier and funnier every single week. And that's no lie, because if the show was a piece of crap, we'd tell you, like when we had that guy from Arliss on.
Oh, we did. And we had Robert Wall on from Arliss. And, you know, we wanted to like it because we actually ended up critiquing the show every week when he would call.
Oh, really?
It wasn't funny.
And what was his reaction to
it? He was cool about it.
He was so desperate to talk to anybody on the radio about his TV show.
Right.
And he called us like 4 weeks in a row, and we just... 4 weeks in a row.
We gave him a very legitimate,
honest critique of his show.
And then, you know, after the fourth week, it lost its novelty for him.
Right, exactly. But he keeps calling, so we must like the abuse.
No, he doesn't call anymore.
Oh, he doesn't?
He had his fill of us.
Oh, okay.
But listen,
you have it.
Your show is so funny. Oh, and listen, I know what else I want to talk to you about.
What?
You know, my wife was watching TV a couple of weeks ago, and she says, come here. It was on a Saturday.
Right.
She said, come here. Look at this. Saved by the Bell.
Oh, Jesus.
Who is making out on the beach with Zach?
It was her?
It was her.
They reran an old one.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Who knew? How come you never told us you were on Saved by the Bell?
Well, I didn't want to give you the whole resume, but you know what it is? It's that I'm on this show, which I really love, and I love the people that we have on it, and it's like, you know, I want to, like, get off the Saved by the Bell thing. Although I appreciate, you know, people coming, but it's like every time somebody recognizes me, I always go, oh, it's from the King. No, that's not it. And then it's like, oh, we saved by the Bell.
Well, I don't think you should be embarrassed by that.
That's not embarrassing. It's just that I want to grow out of it. I want people to watch this show and not have, like, Saved by the Bell on my mind.
I think, you know, I don't think you have to worry about that. I mean, it's not like Werner Klemperer is Colonel Klink. You know, you don't have to worry about being pigeonholed for Saved by the Bell. And your show, King of Queens, I mean, you're on a ride right now that I don't think is going to stop anytime soon. And you're going to be, the next thing you do after this show, and I hope it's a long run for this show, you know, who knows? Maybe you're going to be, stop talking about King of Queens. I want to do other stuff.
No.
Yeah, that'll happen, too.
Yeah, but you know what thing is? Is that I was only recurring on Saved by the Bell. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's not something that I even did it for a whole season. So it was like, you know, weird. Because I've been on King of Queens more than I've been on Saved by the Bell.
You don't have tapes that, I mean, I know you hate talking about it. But you don't have tapes of your Saved by the Bell appearance that you could send us, do you?
What did you just say?
Like Saved by the Bell appearance tapes that you could maybe send us?
No, sweetie, I can honestly say that I don't.
Oh,
she's hotter now. She's all grown up now.
Ah, okay. Good.
All grown up.
Good.
You know,
as a matter of fact, you want to get turned on by Leah Remini? Just watch football some Sunday when they run the endless promos for her show.
Right.
When it's Kevin James just kind of standing there. Mm-hmm. And she, like,
dancing.
Has, like, she has, like, a belly dance around him.
That's right.
I do not.
No, you do, too.
I swear to God, you totally imagine things.
No. It's highly erotic. I am not complaining.
You know, as well as being cynics, Leah, we also have a very active fantasy life also.
Okay.
You know, we have to have that to succeed in this job.
Yes, you're often in my thoughts.
Have you seen your picture yet on the fridge?
Have we what?
You're gonna see your picture tonight on the fridge.
Tonight. Right? Now, that's we've been promoting our primetime debut tonight.
We are so, and we really are so excited about this.
Oh, that is so pitiful that we're excited.
It is pitiful.
Tonight is our Christmas show, so it's funny. It's a new one.
And it's called, like, the Christmas gift? That's
I don't know. I tell you, I think you're going to see your picture in this one. But if you don't, you have to call me and give me credit.
Oh, no. She's hedging already.
Why?
No.
Why wouldn't...
I'm trying to remember if we did any kitchen scenes.
Oh, no.
Well, every other week on that goddamn show, you do scenes in the kitchen.
It's so... I know!
You mean you're not going to be in the kitchen?
I think we are. I don't remember it.
You know, Mike, I think that she may be savvy enough that she's playing us here. Yeah. Well, listen, either way, you know, we'll watch it, and everybody listening will watch it to see if we're on it tonight. And then either way, tomorrow, at least on this show, everybody talks about King of Queens.
Now, you're still...
You know what? The people on the staff and stuff, they walk by, and they go, is that Don and Mike on the fridge?
Yeah,
they totally
right.
know you guys.
Yeah, right.
Hey, are you...
What is wrong with you? Do you know what? When I'm nice to you guys, you don't believe me.
That's right, we don't believe you.
Your callers call in and start yelling at me. I can't win with you two. You're like women over here.
Are you still shooting episodes right now? You still in the middle of your production schedule?
Yes.
Yeah. Are we still on the refrigerator?
You're still on the refrigerator.
So whenever you do scenes...
Off, you're going to be on there.
Good. When you do scenes in the kitchen, you know, I know you block the whole thing out. That's what you TV people do. You rehearse.
Stop it.
Just sort of lean up against the refrigerator, you know. And just sort of just...
I'll do a little lean, sweetie. I'll do a little lean.
I'd like... You do a little lean for me. You're often in my thoughts, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
That's all I want to say. You made quite an impression on me in those ski pads, pants that you claimed were not ski pants.
Again with the ski pants. Okay.
All right, now,
what?
Let's talk about the huge success of your show and what we have to do to get that pecker show off and get you in that, 9:30 time slot.
Why would you want to be in the 9:30 time slot?
Because you're great at 8:30.
That pecker, who?
Becker, the Ted Danson.
Becker.
Becker.
Becker, wrong.
I did say pecker.
Oh.
That's what I call the show. It's called Becker, but I call it pecker.
Thought it was a show about a bird.
Do you think I'm honestly going to talk badly about another CBS show?
Well, listen, this is me saying this.
Talk badly about an NBC show. I'm there.
This is me talking, not you talking.
All right.
Okay? Here's what I say. Bill Cosby does not give the King of Queens the lead-in that King of Queens needs. Look at how you guys perform with such a crappy lead-in as Cosby. Now, if the lineup is like this, Cosby, Pecker, Everybody Loves Raymond,
right.
King of Queens, you guys, you're averaging about 12 share now. We get about 12 million viewers.
Absolutely.
I'm fine with our time slot. We're up against Conrad Bloom, so I'd like to keep it that way.
No, tonight you're on against Caroline in the City. Well, that show sucks, too.
Yeah, you kick ass against that.
Yeah, that show sucks.
That show sucks. And on Fox, Melrose Place, nobody watches that anymore.
Right.
Monday Night Football, you only got two more weeks. And listen, when football is over, look out. That's when your show totally kicks in.
Magazine cover time. Magazine cover time.
And that's when we don't want you to forget us. When in February, when they say the biggest surprise of the season is the incredible rise of King of Queens.
That's it.
Listen, record this. We will never forget you. We will always be available to talk to you.
Oh, you liar, but it's okay.
I'm not a liar. What is wrong with you two today?
Listen, I'll tell you how devoted I am. We want the plot of all your episodes. There's the episode where, Kevin, you go to the Jets game where he has to propose to you guys to do something spontaneous for you. There's where Jerry Stiller gets that... Who is that beast that Jerry Stiller was supposed to be banging? The old actress?
Oh, yeah.
Brenda Vaccaro.
Brenda Vaccaro.
What about her?
What a beast. Christ, what happened to her?
She's adorable.
She's big as a house.
But you know what?
Here's a nice thing I want
to
tell you.
Your scenes.
Hold on a second. I know you're excited. Calm down. I know you're very excited. I won't interrupt you. You go ahead.
I'm just trying to give Leah the recap to let her know.
She knows you watch the television.
Watched all the shows.
She knows you watch the television program.
I just want to establish my side. And remember, Mike, my side is your side. I now bow the floor to the fine gentleman from Virginia.
Bully!
Bully!
I wanted to ask you about Stiller. I always mention Stiller when you guys are on this show. You seem to really click with him, and are there going to be more scenes with you and Jerry Stiller?
Yes.
Good.
They really, really love Jerry, and we do too. I mean, he really does make us pee. So we'll see more of Jerry. You do see a lot of him in the later episodes. So, like tonight, it's basically about us three. So
good.
Yeah.
Good.
Here is what I was thinking, Rob.
And he's in this current episode that you guys we're just taping it this week.
Any chance of any incest between you and Jerry? I mean, I know he plays your father on the show.
Well, I've come on to Jerry a few times, and he's not into me.
How could anybody not be into you?
And we just recently met his wife. Actually, you should talk to Kevin. I said, when you talk to Don and Mike next time, and they go, hey, you know, Lee looked good in that dress, tell him, you know, the sick things that I do off the set.
There you go.
You know, this will really, really get him going.
That wouldn't bother me.
That'd be a good plot line, I think.
Yeah. So
yeah. Fire off a story idea to them. That would be good.
What?
Yeah. I should give you. We're just talking about story ideas for your show.
I think yeah, the incest storyline would be. I think it would slay everybody. It really would.
Yeah, but that's for sweeps. We got to do that when we really need to.
For sweeps,
we want to save that for later.
For sweeps, I got you in a three-way with Jerry Stiller and that guy Spence.
Yeah, the other guy.
That's what I got. All three of you in bed together. Well, listen, you are. Well, who's that?
That's my boyfriend.
Oh, it's your. Oh, let's not talk about him.
Oh, boy.
All righty.
Yeah. Let's not ruin this conversation by talking about him.
You still very much in love with your boyfriend?
Yeah. I am, but he just told me that he dropped soda all over my new tiles.
Oh, boy.
I'm not too happy with him right now.
Sure. I'd leave him.
Yeah.
Your boyfriend, the lottery winner. Are you kidding? Being with Leah Remini?
Yeah, that guy should. I'm such a prize.
Good. Yeah, you are. He should. Play, yeah. He should play the lottery every day. Play your birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he loves me. He's a doll.
Well, he should love you. He should thank the day he met you. Absolutely.
Yeah he does.
So you sound to me. Last thing about the show, you sound not to be quite as insecure as you've been in previous weeks.
Now, what do you mean?
Well, what I mean is, I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm trying to say something nice to you. I'm trying to be nice to you.
Okay, what do you mean?
When
say?
We've had you on before, we've talked about how the show's a success. You always said, no. We're just trying to get renewed. We're just trying to get 23 episodes. Now, I'm hearing some confidence. That's not a bad thing. Confidence is a good thing, Lee.
No, don't say that, because now I'm going to think, now the show is going to get canceled, now that I'm not, you know, I have to be insecure now.
Well, no.
You just ruined it.
No, go ahead, be insecure if you want.
I am insecure.
Very good.
You only got picked up for the back nine.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
come on. You know, and so now I'm doing...
Mike, you're not the breakthrough hit of CBS.
Oh,
please.
You know what? You know what I want to tell you?
What?
I'm doing Access Hollywood today, and I heard you guys have a big thing for Giselle, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes. Yes, we do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that? You ever meet her?
Yes, we've met her in person.
And?
Are you kidding?
Have you been with her yet? Have you been interviewed yet? I don't mean been with her. I mean, have you been interviewed
with
her?
Oh, would that be a great movie? Oh, my God.
Meanwhile, she's like 6 feet tall. Am I right?
So you haven't seen her yet? You haven't been interviewed by her yet?
No.
You know what? That would be fantastic. Who would you do?
Mm-hmm.
Who would you do? Leah Remini? Or Giselle?
Now, is that fair, being that she's 6 feet tall? Perfect.
You know what?
Bones, perfect boobs. Is that
I mean this. I would do you.
I
swear to God.
You're so lucky.
He is telling the truth.
This
Leah.
Is a game.
You're so lucky. I cannot.
He is telling
Leah,
the truth.
Leah, listen. This is a game we play all the time on the show. It's called
right.
Who Would You Do, where we give up two celebrities and you say who would you do?
Mm-hmm. And who was your choice?
You
the
or
from Raymond?
No. I would do you before I do her.
You didn't. Yeah.
I would.
You know what?
Face
totally
it.
I'm lying right now.
Face it. I'm not lying. I'm not lying.
He's telling the truth.
Before I interviewed you, that they told me, hi, sweetie. They told me before you interviewed me, before I met you, that you guys had a thing for me. And I was like, so I walked in there all cocky to find out that you were actually talking about the Raymond girl.
Yeah, right. And if it was who would I do, you or Raymond's wife, I'd do you.
All right.
Yeah, and then it was love at first sight after that. You know that.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
It's a good thing.
All right.
Really, I want to tell you. Giselle Fernandez, she's a man-made, okay?
How do you know that?
Well, take a look at her.
Can
you tell me she's not sculptured? You tell me that she hasn't been to some plastic surgeon? No, I'm not saying she's a bad-looking woman. She's a fine woman.
Right.
But if given the choice, I swear to Jesus Christ, my Savior, I do you.
And I would do Spence.
Thank you. That's a very...
I've just always been, you know, attracted to him on the show. I think he's great. I'm 2 inches away from the set when I see it.
I'll tell you one thing about her, though. She's a huge phony baloney. Wouldn't you agree that Giselle Fernandez is a huge phony baloney?
She's a handsome woman, and she is a little bit Hollywood. That was our impression. I guess you have to be to do the job she does.
No, because you could be a real person as soon as the cameras are off. You don't have to be...
Here's what it'll be. She'll do the thing on you. Then she'll get done, and she'll go, you know, that Leah Remini... She's funny and perky and really nice.
No.
And she gives that phony smile. As soon as the camera's going to see her, you go,
I hate
her. She's such a bitch.
Yeah. You're giving me a dirty look. Look at her. I hate her.
So, see, but more of this is coming your way. These exclusive interviews. Everybody wants a piece of you. That's what's happening now, you see. I don't know whether you're aware of it, and I know you like that insecurity thing, but things are going well for you. I want to tell
Correct.
You that.
All right.
Correct. So, what is she going to talk to you about today?
No, I'm not being interviewed by her.
Oh, you just...
Actually, they're coming and they're decorating my house for me for Christmas.
Oh, so you're totally selling out for a segment for that.
What are you talking about?
I know. I happen to know what that is. That's the Weekend Access Hollywood show where they go to celebrities' houses.
So what's wrong with that? I don't know how to decorate.
So they're going to decorate and pay for everything?
No, I got to pay for it.
But you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Really?
But they're coming over here and doing it. That's nice. They're teaching me how to cook a chicken. I don't know how to do that. You know?
All right. Well, you know you know what it is, really? It depends who they hook you up with. Mm-hmm. Who the other celebrities are that they're profiling. Like, you're not in a good situation if it's like Eric Estrada. You know what I mean? If there's some lame celebrities.
So
I hope
totally.
They package your segment with better celebrities.
If you hear the name under any circumstances, Al Molinaro.
Run. Yeah.
See if you can pull the plug.
Pull the plug?
There you go.
All right. I will.
All right, listen, Leah Remini, her show is King of Queens. I mean, here's a super plug. It's on 8:30 tonight on all the CBS stations to all the cities we go to. Watch it. Watch the whole goddamn show because it is hilarious. It really is. It really is.
Thank you. I do appreciate it.
So we appreciate you calling and good luck to you.
I will be calling you year 5, so don't even, you know.
Oh, please. I'm just looking for you to call next year. You know, just make it in 1999 and we'll be happy.
Okay.
And listen, I'm positive that there's no way that we'll talk to you before Christmas. So have a good holiday.
Okay, you guys too.
And please tell Kevin the same. And we'll look for our pictures tonight. However, if we don't see our picture, you'll be hearing from us tomorrow, lady.
All right, call me.
All right.
Call me on the set.
Okay, we will. Bye, Leah.
You guys. Bye.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye.
It's the very hot Leah Remini.
I meant that. Do her or Giselle?
Oh, I know you meant that.
Sure. I do her. That's the absolute truth.
And we were pretty hot for Giselle, but then there was a different, as far as you were concerned, there was a different little something when she was on the show.
Baby. Baby!
You do that. Dang.
She's got it.
She does.
She's a little firecracker. She is Leah Remini.
That's what you like about her.
Yeah, I know I do.
She's a pistol.
I really do. And just speculation. One man's thought.
Uh-huh.
I think she'd try a little harder, frankly. I can picture Giselle Fernandez just laying there going, yeah.
I'm Giselle, look at me, I'm beautiful. You do all the work.
I could see Leah. You know, like I haven't seen her already many times.
in your fantasy life.
Right.
Trying real hard to make sure you were asked.
You please me.
There you go. working her little derriere off just to make you happy.
And I'd be wearing the same outfit I have on today, Mike. A couple of stupid Nike sweatshirts.
Wouldn't matter to her. She'd work extraordinarily hard for you. She would.
But she is a very nice lady. No doubt about that.
They're both two of the nicest people we've ever interviewed out there. And
funny as hell, I don't know how we lucked into, with all the crappy shows that we've talked to people from, I don't know how we finally lucked into a show that people actually enjoy and is actually good.
And I hope their Christmas show kicks ass. I really do.
It will. Hope we're on the refrigerator, you know?
Yeah, she was teasing us a little bit with that one. And, of course, you know, we're going to watch that show.
Right.
Pressed up against the screen. When are they going to the kitchen?
She plays it like a violin. 88% of that show is done in the kitchen.
I hope so.
Except tonight, right?
All right. Tonight will be like Jerry Stiller's hospital room.
All right. Well, please watch The King of Queens. That's 8:30 on your local CBS station. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The honor and the integrity of the Who Would You Do segment on this show, you just can't. Mm-hmm. You know, you either say nothing.
You played it perfectly.
You can't lie. You know?
Why say something that would upset the beautiful Leah Remini?
That's right. Just say that Giselle, a thousand times Giselle. Taking nothing away from his Remini, but with a strong memory of that one time that we had Giselle Fernandez on the show in Los Angeles when she was sitting there and you had the Johnny Carson set that you liked so much.
Oh, I love that. Where I was sitting at the desk and Mike had his couch.
Oh, right. Man. And she was sitting next to me on the couch and it was just... It was delightful.
Now, Mike chose Ginger over Marianne back in that debate, and I see a similarity here between choosing between Giselle Fernandez
yes,
and
Buzz,
Leah
that
Remini.
Would be I go for the whore. Absolutely.
Well, I don't know.
Every time. Yes, the heavily made-up spandex
pants.
Well,
glamorous.
It's the true. Thank you. That's
more
a nice way of putting it. I like the painted-up look. I truly do. Ginger is not Hispanic.
Oh, Giselle is. Hello, Rodriguez. This is Giselle Fernandez.
Yeah.
I understand that you would do me over Leah Remini, hey, senor?
Thank you, yes, Giselle. Welcome to the Americasa.
Giselle Fernandez, she is a brick house.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that.
And I remember the Academy Awards telecast when they did that special Access Hollywood.
Falling out of her shirt that night.
Very glamorous. She was very, very glamorous. So many lovelies in Hollywood that we will never come anywhere near.
Right. But I got my dreams.
You do. And you, we were talking about Leah during the entire breakdown.
Oh. Yes, we were.
You know, would she? Yeah, she really would. Oh, yeah.
I really do think that. I think if you got the two of them in bed,
right,
separately, Giselle Fernandez and Leah Remini,
right,
who would try harder to please her man? I'm as ridiculous. I mean, seriously, Leah Remini, 1,000 times over.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think because Giselle has been at it a while, and she has a knowledge of her beauty, I believe. Mm-hmm. She struck me as that when we interviewed her, that she knew she was a hottie.
Right.
Whereas Leah probably knows she's a hottie, but she doesn't want to show that she knows she's a hottie.
Right, so
she would work hard.
She would do more stuff for you.
She'd work harder, probably, for your pleasure.
Whereas Giselle would probably expect you to do all the work.
I would, and I'd do so gladly.
I know you would. Hello, Donna Mike Show. Yep, hold on a second. You know what? Something's wrong with these telephones. Hold on just a second, please. Look, see, I just punched line 4. Star Trek guy calling back, line 4.
I hear a hissing sound.
I got nothing on there.
I hear a breathing sound. It's Don and Mike breathing heavily.
I got Dick. Hello. Oh, now. All right, well, now line 4 is just lit up, and there's nobody on it. See, Rob, see on the handheld here? There's nothing on line 4.
Weird.
But right there, there's something. Hello.
Hey,
Don and Mike.
Your phone's work now.
Nope, not line 4. Is line 4 okay, Robbie?
Cleared itself.
Who would you do, Robbie, Giselle or Leah?
Leah.
Yeah, Rob likes the performing element of Leah, right?
No, she'd try harder. That's what I'd have to do.
Plus, remember, I mean, you got to factor in when you're done,
right?
Laying there. I mean, unless you just get up and leave.
Yeah, and you'd want somebody who could make conversation.
Someone to watch TV with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're done,
I'd be Leah.
And furthermore, which one of them would go down and make you a sandwich afterwards?
I'd make it for Giselle. I'd make a peanut butter and banana sandwich for Giselle.
Who would you do, Buzz?
Oh, definitely Leah. I'm more more down to earth, like Marianne.
Sure.
Well, sometimes, you know, down to earth is good, but when you want to please a diva.
All I know is I could see her. I said, boy, I'm hungry. I'll go down and get you some cold chicken.
Weren't you guys all Marianne guys, too?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Rob, you're included in that, right?
No, I was Ginger.
Oh, you were a Ginger.
No,
man.
You wanted to do Professor.
This is Al.
That's right. You wanted Lovey.
Lovey. Lovey. Hello. Okay. What do you want? Hi.
Have you seen the new TV guides?
The new TV guides?
The new TV guide is, instead of a small book like TV Guide.
Yeah.
My new TV guide is a large, like, cable book size magazine now.
You mean the brand name TV guide?
Brand name TV guide.
Oh, the newest one I got has those three girls.
The three girls, right.
From the Witch Show, and it's the normal small size.
And
are you sure it's that's happened? Or
I am so positive.
No chance that maybe you've shrunk?
No, I don't think so.
Honey, I shrunk the listener.
No, I'm up here in Baltimore, and that was the new TV guide for sale.
You know what? You should. You know, this is just a quick check to see if you shrunk. Go down, go to the toilet, sit on it, and if you fall in, you'll know that,
that's
you
the
and
TV
not the
guide
TV.
Is.
Land of the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they just did that for Baltimore.
It's
no offense, Baltimore.
Well. It's really bad because you know how they'll go across the page and they have, like, in the middle on the day, the whole chart of everything.
Where everybody in Baltimore is shrunk. You know, you go to the refrigerator, you get something out, and all of a sudden you find you have to, like, get on your tippy toes to reach the handle.
No, I'm reaching the handle right now. I'm going to close it and open it.
I don't know. All I can say, maybe you got the special TARD version. You know.
It doesn't sound very plausible. The TV guide has changed sizes.
TV guide for TARDs.
Yeah, the Super B. The one with the coloring book in the middle.
TV Guide. TARD TV Guide. Hello there, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, Baldy. Hey, hi.
So.
Hey, what? Sorry?
Hi, Don and Mike.
Yes, turn your radio down, please.
Okay.
That sound was confusing me, man.
Oh, sorry. Hey, I wanted to comment about the Star Trek movie.
Yes.
What did you think about Donna Murphy, the girl that played Anish?
You mean that old bag that was attracted to Picard?
Yeah. I mean, throughout the whole movie, she's there running around with, you know, these, you know, THOs. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what the hell is that?
THO.
That is the first word you're going to say, is that T word?
Like, T what? Yeah. T hard on.
She did not. Absolutely. Are you saying that she had erect nipples? Absolutely not.
Yeah. Right before they jump in.
Picard's nipples are harder than hers are.
Yes, they are.
Oh,
thank God for that.
Or I know you guys are talking about Data, too. I mean, holy cow, what was up with that?
Yeah, wild. I want to tell you, what was up with that?
That's wild. You ever go to an airport? It's crazy. Takes all day to get your luggage. Wild.
Bad airline food.
No, the woman that's Picard's love interest plays a woman who, in the movie, is 300 years old. And for my money, she looked like she was 300 years old. Hello?
Counselor Areola.
Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don. How are you today?
Fine. I would have noticed that if that had been happening.
He said that there was cut glass there, but no, huh?
Mm-mm.
All right.
Don't think so. Hello?
I wanted to confirm that Targ from Baltimore thing. I was at the store yesterday with my wife, and yes, we both said how big the new TV guide was.
I imagine that's a big story in Baltimore.
That was lead story in the Sun today, Mike.
All right, look at that, hon. The TV guide done grew.
Ravens lose. TV guide bigger.
Man, I tell you, two things I'm concerned about.
Marty Bass still bald.
Will Cal be playing first base? Mm-hmm. And look at the size of the TV guide.
Hello.
Have a crib kick.
Don and Mike show.
Don?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, this is Jim from Baltimore. I just wanted to confirm that the TV guide's on sale on the stands are very large, but
I will
get it delivered at home. It's still the right size.
So okay. The magazine, the newsstand copies are large.
That's right. Yeah.
Everywhere?
No, all these people calling are just from Baltimore,
that's
Mike.
Right.
Ah, just from Baltimore. Hmm.
Me smell a trend.
Me smell a conspiracy.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don?
Yes, I am. Hello, and Mike.
How you doing, Don? Mike?
Great, thanks.
This is Ron from down St. Pete. I won your mortgage thing.
Oh, you're one of the people who won the rent and mortgage last month.
Yeah, right. I wanted to thank you for it and wish you all guys both a Merry Christmas.
No, well, same to you, Ron. I'm glad that worked out. So
I can't hardly get through on you this line very often, so whenever I got a chance, I wanted to let you know about it.
I remember you. Remember when I said, what is an old dude doing listening to our show?
I'm going
to
kick your ass.
Yeah, there you go. Good man.
I never did get my phone sex, though, from your girl there.
Oh, from Christine?
That's right.
Hey, Christine, pick up line 5, please, right now. Please pick it up. Line 5. Christine?
Hi.
Give this guy some phone sex. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
The TV guys. What do you care?
By the way, something. Why do you care?
I'm just answering the call, sir. Don't kill the messenger.
You know, we have to respond to the issues of the day and things that are making people talk and things that are concerning and frightening people.
And everybody in Baltimore is very concerned and frightened, Mike.
Here I was, driving into my local convenience store. I look over at the magazine rack, the TV guide. It's about to eat me up. I was scared.
Hey, hon. How's Cal feel about that?
Here I am, popping open a natty bow, and I look over, the TV guide is the size of the whole inner harbor. No!
No, hon! Hello? Hey, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello there.
This is the Don and Mike show.
Okay. When I say Don and Mike, hello, Don and Mike, you should be able to...
I hear you.
Unless work that through, unless you're calling from Baltimore to tell us about the new larger TV guide.
Or nervously calling with a prank call.
Oh, I'm sorry. How are you guys doing today?
Fine.
I got ejected from your show on Wednesday, and I was wondering what I missed.
What do you mean you got ejected?
I got thrown out of the show.
You got thrown out of the show. What does that mean?
Oh, I know what he means. He means the live show that we did Wednesday night down at the Bayou, right?
Exactly.
Why did you get thrown out?
It's kind of a long story. I don't know if you want me to tell you, want me to say it on the air or not.
Were you too young?
No.
Were you too drunk?
I was fairly drunk.
Uh-huh. Did you get into a fight?
No, I was...
Did you expose yourself?
I was in the bathroom.
the ladies' bathroom with
right,
a friend of mine.
Goodbye. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Just FYI, I was in New York last week, and the TV guides on sale there.
Oh, my God!
In magazine size.
They're everywhere.
No!
Who is this?
Size Virginia.
Who is this, Saddam Hussein?
No.
I was there. They're over there, too, the TV guides. Big, big TV guide.
Yeah, so what you're saying is you were in New York.
Uh-huh.
And they had the large TV guides also?
Southwest.
We can't ignore this incredible news story.
Mike, I find it very bothersome.
I agree.
You're being short-changed.
What?
I think you're being short-changed in the media action and get their regular size TV guide.
Media action, Mike.
Well, I just told people are seeing these on newsstands and, for the love of God, not touching them.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi, Hon.
Hi. Hey, Hon.
How are you?
Oh, afraid about those TV guides, Hon.
I had to call. I grew up in Pasadena, which is kind of a suburb of Baltimore.
Spent some many, many, many good hours there.
With
Tiny Tim and Tubby Booths.
Oh, my God. It cannot be worse than Pasadena. But anyway, I was laughing so hard when you were doing your Baltimore voice. I dropped my roast on the floor.
The roast? The roast is ruined, Hon.
So now it's ruined. And now we're trying.
And Mike, the people that are eating that roast tonight, to them it will taste the same.
It's in the garbage.
That's right, Hon. It's the best roast. Town.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
We have to go out to eat tonight. You know why?
Why?
Look at this. Look how big the TV guide is, huh?
Don't touch it, dude. Touch it. Your whole arm will fall off.
Hello.
Yeah, Don.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard that one of the side effects of gonorrhea is that things look larger than normal.
Hey, you know, man, the whole town's got gonorrhea.
Buzz, didn't you have a story saying that Baltimore was the number one sex disease city in America?
It's true. They're way up there. That's right. So, I dated a lot of women. I slept with a whole bunch of them. I get a sexually transmitted disease, and the TV guide starts growing on. Oh, no. And then a woman dropped the roast on the floor.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Donna Mike.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hi. That's Middle California. The TV guides are still the same size.
Pick up, please. Pick up, please.
I'm here.
Pick. Are you on a speakerphone?
Bad.
Right. Pick up.
Yeah, I picked that.
Yeah, I just wanted to pick up so I can hang up on it. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, Donna Mike, how you doing today?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm wondering, I remember when you guys, I guess when Mike used to do the imitation of the guy from L.A. Law, Lenny.
Larry Gray.
Benny.
I hadn't heard that one in a long time. If he could pull that out of the archives sometimes, it
We'll put you on hold, and I'll be over at your house about an hour after the show.
And then Dennis Murphy will come by to sell you one of his new CDs.
That's right. I might help Dennis out and actually bring one of those. And, you know, in a bag sealed for my protection, I'll bring him one of the big copies of TV Guide.
Be careful there, Mike.
Hey, look at that. Hey, man, I made her drop the roast, and she has the best roast around.
Oh. I was at Polak Johnny's, and he said, "Did you see this TV guy?" I said, "Oh, that's so big, Hon."
Then she hung up on me. I said, "Senator Mikulski, these TV guides are growing. You got to get back to town."
Hello? Mayor Smoke?
Smoke's office.
Yes, we know about the large TV guides.
Won't you just get a big old truck and pile them all up in the middle of Memorial Stadium?
Mayor Smoke is aware of the TV guide problem. Put them all in a big stack on Television Hill. Channel 13.
Put them in Marty Bass's car.
Hello.
Howdy, Horn.
Hey, Horn. Hi. Oh, we got to do a break because that guy's here to talk about Hanukkah. Yes, sir. Last call.
Well, the TV guide's in Baltimore, okay? Baltimore's a big test market for a lot of stuff. Did you guys know that?
Sure did, Horn.
That's right. Just last week. Last week, they were testing a new sort of chemical weapon in Baltimore. And it works, Horn, because we're all getting smaller.
Remember when McDonald's came out with the mixed crab cakes? They tested those in Baltimore.
I got the crabs. Hey, Horn.
That's why we're the STB capital of the world, Horn. Because we all got the crabs. And they're the best crabs in town.
All right, goodbye. All right, get off the phone. Goodbye. Let's clear these lines out right now. Take caller number 100.
All right.
Add 1-800-636-1067. We will give you something man-made from this planet and qualify you to win $5,000 that we are giving away on Friday's episode.
Hey, Albert Bill, welcome to town. Here's a TV guy.
Oh, my God, it's huge. Peter Angelos loves the new TV guides. What does Art... What's that guy's name?
Art Donovan.
Mm-hmm. Art Donovan.
He's great, man. He used to play for the Colts.
F. Ursay.
Yeah, he's dead now.
F. Ursay, did you see the new TV guide?
It's huge. It's bigger than Raven Stadium, huh?
What about Boog Powell?
Hey, Boog's Barbecue. Watch out. The TV guides are in the newsstand and they're coming your way.
Caller 100. Caller 100 right now. We'll qualify you to win $5,000 to pay off your Christmas credit card debt at 1-800-636-1067. Good luck.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Man. Now, because I wanted this day to be perfect,
mm-hmm.
I knew a fire would be a fantastic touch because it was kind of cold and
gray
and misty and gray. Right. So, the boys are coming over at 12 noon. Here's exactly what I did, and now we have pinpointed my mistake.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah, this makes sense.
10 o'clock in the morning. I have Frida come downstairs, open the flue.
Good.
In the fireplace. She puts her head in. She goes, it's open.
Great.
10 a.m., we get a fire going.
Yep.
Perfect. All I got to do now, when the boys come over, I just keep adding logs.
Sure.
Right?
Mm.
So.
Be nice and toasty in the poker parlor.
So it's 10:30, and by now, I got a beautiful, a picture-perfect fire going.
Right.
Down in the basement. 11 o'clock, take a shower. 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
Setting out the ashtrays, I'm getting the cigars ready. I got the little mini refrigerator stocked with the kind of beer you like, and the kind of beer the junkies like. I got regular Pepsi for Buzz. I got Diet Pepsi for everybody else. I mean, I got it going on. I'm totally prepared.
Yep.
11:30, half hour till game time. Then I say, you know what? I need to add another log.
A big log.
And what I do is I go out back, and I get not a little log. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get...
A Lincoln log.
Right. A big-ass log.
I got
a huge, like a tree stump is what I get.
Mm-hmm.
So, I bring it in, and I go, you know what? Before I add that to the fire, I'm going to put another one of those little fire starter logs on.
I did not know. I didn't know that you threw that in there.
So,
even though the fire was going, and it would have probably caught the log on fire.
Well, but I didn't know if it would or not, so I added, now, not one of those big fire starter logs, just one of the...
A little pocket, a little stick of fuel.
A little mini one, like
right.
The size of a candy bar. But still, as I found out later, still very volatile.
Very powerful. Very powerful, all of those items. Yes, what they have is they have fluid in them. They have, you know, liquid that burns. That's why they go so good.
So, I put in the extra little thing to make more fire.
Right.
And now there's just the logs that my wife and I have already put in, they're nearly down to nothing.
Okay.
I go, beautiful. I get out this big stump. I go... Put it in, kind of roll it in.
Right.
Standing there, just admiring my work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I fold my arms like this, and I go, "I'm the man. I am the friggin' man. I got my buddies coming over to play cards.
Mm-hmm.
I got it going on." And all of a sudden, I notice that there is smoke that is just billowing out of the front of the fireplace. I mean. Worse than the last time. Just billowing out. So the first thing I do, because I don't want to get in trouble with my wife, first thing I do is I run outside. And now it's cloudy, so I can't tell if the smoke's coming out of the chimney or not, right? Keep in mind, she opened the flue.
Right. So you think everything's cool.
Flue was open.
Right.
Now I'm standing there going, well, it must be because I put the big log on and maybe the starter fire log, maybe that kind of broke and it's just caused a bigger fire.
There's too much fire for the fireplace.
So what I do is I think, well, I'll go in the other room and we got one of those big fans.
Mm-hmm.
So I go in the other room, get the fan, I'll plug it in. By this time, there's just a little smoke in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I go in the basement, I get the fan, I come back. You cannot see the track lighting in the ceiling.
Oh, dear.
Because the smoke...
is so thick. And while I'm standing there flipping out about this, it's exactly at that moment that right. all over the house I start hearing, beep, beep, beep. Every smoke alarm in the house has gone off now.
Later on, I asked him, I said, how come your smoke detectors aren't going off? Because you've disabled all of them because they were all screaming at you, right?
Everyone. Yeah, I know that our smoke detectors work. So, they're going off all over the house. The dogs are barking. I go upstairs. My kid is studying his schoolwork. My wife is on the computer. I go upstairs and I go, it's happened again! It's happened again!
Smoke pouring into the house.
She goes, what? I said, I don't know. I was flabbergasted. I said, you opened the flue. I started the fire. It was a great fire. It was a fabulous fire. Oh, it was put a log on, and now smoke everywhere. She goes, settle down. It can't be that bad.
Right.
Settle down. Don't worry about it. I'm positive. We checked it out.
No problem.
She comes down there. And I mean, not an exaggeration, that the smoke is absolutely black, and it's, what's that, about 2 feet I'm holding my hand,
yeah.
Like that on the ceiling, just 2 feet of smoke. My son,
thick black smoke.
My son falls down to the ground and crawls out of the room.
The smart boy, right?
This is how bad it is.
Yeah.
Now, it's precisely at this time, Frida says, what did you do? He said, honey, I put a log in. It's right at this time I hear, Buzz is here. And, 20 minutes early.
Yeah.
Buzz Burbank.
Hi. So he wins the punctuality award, but we all compete for that.
Mm-hmm. I said to Bart, go get Buzz. Whatever you do, don't bring him down here. Right? Because mm-hmm. I'm still thinking that there's going to be some way that I'm going to save this without you guys finding out about it.
Right.
This, right? But, of course, what's the first thing Bart does? Brings him right down and goes, hey, Buzz is here.
Come on down and see the fire.
Now, at this point, fire's still going.
Right.
I've got the glass doors on the front of the fireplace closed.
I didn't know that it lasted this long. I didn't know that it was simmering for this amount of time.
Yeah. Now, Buzz is standing there. Bless his heart. I said this about Buzz. Good friend. Trying to help.
I did try to help.
I'm standing there, and I said, I got the flu open.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell this is. And Buzz starts saying, maybe there's something caught in there. Maybe there's a bird's nest in there. It's
Santa Claus. Somebody said that. Was that you, Rob, that said that?
Now, keep in mind at this point, no one in the room, right now it's me, Buzz, Bart, and Frida.
Right.
We can't even open our eyes because there's so much smoke in there. At this point, Buzz says, oh, it's not that bad in here. It's not really that smoky in here. Well, then one by one, people start arriving. Next person to arrive, just my luck, it's Mike.
Mm-hmm. Don comes
Mike with the food.
Running out of the house, and almost... It was almost as though you were trying to block my way because you stood up there and I was confused momentarily because you said, you put your hands up in the air.
You're the only guy that I didn't want to come over and see that I'd done the thing again.
You put your hands up in the air and said, we have a flu problem. And I'm like, oh, we have people with diarrhea and vomiting all over the house. I get, we can't. I wrote that my first thing, I didn't even think flu. I said, oh, the fireplace flu. And that's when I walked in and.
You got a big smile on your face. Say, let me
go downstairs. And there, the smoke is like taking a journey up along the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And it is about 2-3 feet. Well, this time it's just all over the place.
Right. Now the fire's still going. The
whole house smells of smoke.
Now I'm saying to Frida, where is the fire extinguisher? Now, I've got Buzz and Mike standing in the dining room holding the sandwiches.
Did you notice my big idiot move when I went down to your fireplace? Feeling the top of the fireplace as though, you know, I was feeling like a fire inspector.
Look smart.
It was cool. It was cool. It was not.
Did no good, but you looked like you knew what you were doing.
In fact, I feel like an idiot for not helping after I heard what the problem was.
There was nothing that, listen, there was nothing anybody could do.
I got a heat problem there.
Yeah, because like the fire.
metal items in the fireplace starting to melt at this point.
Once again, as you can see, the tips of my hands.
I saw it when you reached down.
Blistered.
To fully grab the handle of the fireplace insert and just went, ah!
And you know, Frida said to me, don't touch that, that's hot.
Right. It was hot. I mean, it was unbelievably hot.
And I said, honey, I got to open the doors up. If we're going to put the fire out, I got to open the doors up. I open the doors up. Ow, 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 ow. So my hands are burning. We can't find the fire extinguisher. Now, by this point, Eric's come over. Johnny's come over.
Yeah, we're all there.
It's 20 minutes now. It's 12 noon. We're supposed to be starting a poker party,
right.
But everybody is just standing around in my basement watching this fire burn uncontrollably.
Trying to figure out what's going to happen until your wife came to the rescue with the watering pail.
My wife comes down with the most retarded looking, it's a big water pail, that she goes out and she waters her flowers with.
She had it full, though.
And it's like from Pee-wee's Playhouse, because it's real big, and it's got a million holes coming out of the head like a shower head.
Right.
Go away, Mr. Fire!
So she comes down and she goes, you open the doors? I go, yes, look, smoke is billowing out.
This is when I cringed, because I knew it was going to happen when she did this.
Yeah. She starts pouring the water on the fire, and now, worse than the smoke.
This is steam and smoke. Well, it is smoke, mostly. It's it's unbelievable.
So now everybody is like coughing, and everybody's standing outside, and we cannot see.
When she put the water on, although she had to do it, this is when it became unbelievable. I mean, this is when you wanted to get out of the room, because we were dealing with a health problem there.
So at this point, everybody goes upstairs, and me and Frida go downstairs.
Right.
Because now the fire's out. Now what we got to do is get the crap out of the fireplace and try to start ventilating the basement. She goes over with these big, like, tongs that we have, these big, like, metal tongs that you use to take the wood out of the fireplace. She goes over, very expertly, picks up the piece, the huge tree stump that I put in there.
Right.
And, like, because, you know, I see her arms shaking like this. Cause she's
tough to maneuver that.
She's a girl, right? I'm much stronger than she is.
Right.
Well, I am, guys. So she goes, she gets it to the back porch. Ah, she puts it down. I said, honey, this is man's work.
Right.
Let me take the rest of the stuff out of there. Give me those tongs. She gives me the tongs. I go over. Now, all that's left in there, a couple little pieces of the other fire, and, of course, the massive fake thing. I mean, the thing that's like the size of the candy bar.
Right.
So what I do is, the thing, the fire starter thing, I go in with the tongs, and I very gingerly pick this thing up. And as I start walking towards the door, the thing falls and breaks because it's very pliable,
crumbles,
right?
Yeah.
Thing crumbles, and all of a sudden, like particle board, and it's full of fuel. Carpet on fire now.
Well, that's because that thing's got all that, you know, kerosene in it or whatever they put in it.
Carpet on fire.
I didn't even know this. But we were upstairs having a very pleasant conversation while all this was going on.
Now I'm doing this. Now I'm going, I'm stepping on the phone going, carpet's on fire! Honey, your carpet's on fire! Fake log, bro, carpet's on fire!
Just happy. I'm just lucky everybody lived through this.
She comes over with the water. This is all over the carpet. All right.
I didn't even know that happened.
Now, fake log is out. Real log is out.
Smoke is still in house.
Smoke, the worst.
Is your house still smell of smoke?
No, it finally didn't last night.
Good.
It took 2 days. So, what we decide to do, what we're going to do is move the card game upstairs temporarily.
Good move.
To the dining room. My wife goes downstairs and she really pissed at me. She said, listen, I don't know what you did to F this up.
Right.
But I'm going to find out what you did, and you're never allowed to do anything with the fireplace again. Now go upstairs, play cards with your friends, and I'm going to try to clean up down here.
Oh, God, it was terrible. It really was.
I go upstairs, and everybody's having lunch. We haven't started playing cards yet. I'm feeling guilty. I go back downstairs. I go, honey, please let me help. And by this time, the smoke has started to clear out a little bit. And she goes, look, I just had new carpeting put in down here in the basement. Look what you did. And in the carpeting, there are these huge burn holes. I mean, big black charred spots.
Shouldn't have picked up the little doohickey with the tongs.
No, I shouldn't have. So finally, listen, everything was cool then.
Yeah, the smoke cleared out a little bit.
We aired it out as much as we could.
Right.
We played cards up in my dining room for about an hour. Then we moved it downstairs. And although everybody, when they left my house at about 4 o'clock, reeked of smoke.
You didn't notice it until you left. I didn't notice until I was standing in the mall next to a lady who was kind of looking at me. You know, like perhaps I was a chimney sweep. She was kind of.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I got some stares in the movies because we.
Yeah, it actually gets inside your clothes. You don't know it. And, you know, what's the best thing to do after you've got a smoke-filled room? Then you bring the cigars out and light the cigars out.
We were all smoking cigars out of the six of us. Five of us were smoking cigars, so it was like.
Right.
The room was emptying out of all of the smoke that had been in the chimney, but now it was being filled up with the smoke from the cigars.
A lot of people normally have to go a good 3-4 years to get that many carcinogens, and I think we managed to do it in one afternoon.
So we had a great game of cards. We already told you about that. I was lucky enough to be the big winner. We had lots of fun. Everybody goofed on everybody.
Right.
About 4:15, my wife came downstairs, and she says, listen, you know, we're going to go see the Star Trek movie. Maybe, you know, our family's going to go. So everybody had the split.
Mm-hmm. Was I your buddy on that, incidentally? Did I? Was I the good wrangler when I was leaving as far as motivating
Absolutely.
Everybody to get going?
Absolutely.
I just knew that you said something like the movie time was the 4:40 or something, some early time like that. So I'm like, oh, come on, little doggies. Let's get going. Everybody out right now.
You're fantastic. And you did it much meaner than that. You said, Eric. Time to leave. John, go. Buzz, see you later.
Let's go. Come on,
let's get out of here.
These people have a movie to see. Well, you know, we've been in your home for over 4 hours, right. And that your wife, very nice, very understanding, and then it was time to go.
So we go to the movies, we come back home. Saturday night. Mm-hmm. She says, go down and clean up the mess. So I go down, and she says, hold on, before you clean up the mess, let's figure out what happened.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was hard to... You couldn't examine what the flu situation was because it was so hot. You couldn't go near it. And the smoke, you just couldn't take care of that.
The flames were gigantic. The fireplace was about 1,000,000 degrees again.
It was unbelievable, that heat.
Finally, we figured it out. When everything was fine and my wife opened the flu and we made the first fire, when I went and put the little log on, no problem there. Then when I took the giant stump and kind of... rolled it on top of the existing fire.
Mm-hmm.
When I kind of rolled it on its way in, it hit the flue.
Oh, the flue handle.
Which hangs down in the air,
Makes sense.
Right.
That makes sense because they're on a very precarious little hook system.
So that thing is hanging down. Like, you know, if you look in the back of somebody's throat.
Like a pallet?
Yeah, that little thing in the back of your throat.
Right.
Like, that thing's hanging down. I just tossed the log in, and when I did that, it hit that part of the flue, which... went and closed up, which is why, all of a sudden, billowing smoke throughout the house.
You were about 8 feet away from the fireplace when you decided to throw the log in, right?
Yeah, I wasn't real close.
You strong.
I made a little bit of a sporting event.
And it shut the flu, and then you're in that same situation.
The flu was closed, and then the house was full of smoke. And
it's like trying to get the ball in the clown's mouth at the end of miniature golf. That's the way you threw that log into the fire. I can make it from right here.
It's really just... Okay.
Done.
Problem solved.
Well, you know what you need to do.
So it was very, very embarrassing. You know, it was very embarrassing because all of this was happening right as everybody was coming over for the big poker game, Jesus Christ.
Well, you looked a little freaked out and said, we got a flu problem. I was just relieved that there wasn't, a lot of illness in the house when I got there.
And you're right. You're the one guy.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz, I don't care if he sees me like that. Rob, I don't care.
Right.
Johnny Cakes, EB.
Came out like he was...
Bring it on. But I said, oh, my God. I said, we got to get this cleaned up before Mike gets here. And I mean, you know, I don't know why I feel that way because
I
would have talked about it either way on the air, but it's
of course.
Of all the guys there,
you didn't want it to happen twice.
I didn't want it to be when he was there.
I didn't want it to happen twice, and there it was. And hey, we played.
He's killing me.
We played our poker, and it worked out. It worked out fine.
That was fine.
And now you know your way around a fireplace.
I am never allowed. I'm never allowed to do anything with a fire again.
See, that's wrong. That's it. You should be allowed. You should be allowed so you know what's going on.
Oh, well, I don't want to now. Not until my fingers heal. Look at all the burns I got on the end of my fingers. I got a bunch of blisters on the end of my fingers.
Terrible. That got so hot so quick. Yeah. But everybody was fine. No one was killed.
So that was the poker game. And we said all the other stuff for the poker game before.
That's right. And everybody had a marvelous time.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
Yeah. Buzz is a bad dealer. Well, I'm just funny.
There's that. We're just kidding about
that.
I mean, we're not kidding about it, but we're just kidding about
it.
And
you're right. I am a bad dealer. Mm-hmm. More practice for me.
We got pissed before when we brought that up, so don't get pissed now.
Well, you said something about the money.
What about the money?
Well, you said something about the money earlier when you brought it up.
What did we bring up?
What about the money?
About the bad dealer, and then I won the pots at the end, the side bets at the end. Remember?
Yeah.
And you said something earlier about the money, and I said I would give the money back. That's what happened.
What?
It's not important.
Everything's fine. No, really. Come on, I'm not busting your chops now. We said that you got the palsy when you deal the cards. That you're a very bad dealer of the cards.
Right. We talked about that at the beginning of the show, and you're right. I agree with that. That's correct. I am a poor dealer.
Oh, I know. And then I said you should give us the money back that you won
for slowing down the game. Right.
And he's absolutely right.
I'd be happy to do that.
You should give every nickel back.
I will do that.
We'll wait during the commercial break to get every dime.
And Buzz, I win the award for being the angriest at you sitting to your right.
I was sitting to your immediate it right, and I was probably, you know, that was during that 1.5 hour period of time that I was losing and looking for anyone to blame.
I understand.
Which is what you do when you lose. You
I understand
for
that
anyone
too.
To blame. But then I started winning, and life was good again.
Let me just tell you how the speed of the game moved.
Uh-huh.
And really, generally, this is how it me, very quickly. Here's the order it went. Here's how we're sitting around the table. Me,
right.
Rob, Johnny Cakes, mm-hmm. Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Four of us.
Like, bam, bam,
I'm
bam.
In, I'm in, I'm in,
very
I'm
quick.
In. Mm-hmm. Then you got to the Speed Bump Brothers, because it was Buzz, followed by
Eric Bickle.
Eric Bickle,
who seriously, I have played golf with EB, and he is now, officially, I thought it was just on the golf course, he is officially the slowest man in the world.
So we figured out what we have to do the next time we play cards.
That's right.
Put you on one side of the table
right. mm-hmm.
and Eric on the other side.
Give you guys time, and that, well, they'll still have to deal at a certain point, but give you guys time to process whatever you're processing with two cards in Texas Hold'em.
That was.
Give your time to make the decision.
Eric would sit there and look at his card,
right?
And everybody at the whole table would bet. Then it would come to Eric and he'd go,
yeah.
Hold on.
Drove me nuts.
Look at his cards. What about when Eric started talking in his high voice?
Oh, I'm getting lousy up in cards here. I'm a big loser. I'm a big loser. I'm paying for you to go to the movies tonight. I fold. I quit.
I guess that's what everybody that plays cards with a regular group of people. You just got to deal with everybody else's style.
Sure.
Or lack thereof. That's what we all have to deal with. That's the way. But the good thing is people get better every time we play. Yeah. When we all first started, we were rookies, too.
Yeah. And I missed the first game, so I'm a game behind everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I tell myself.
Okay, but yeah. Keep telling that to yourself. Well, it was a good game, and we next meet.
Yeah.
We next meet next month to
next
play
month.
A game.
Next month. And you don't always have to be the host, but if you like to, I think everybody likes coming over to your pad to do that.
As long as I've lost my driver's license, I kind of have to be the host, unless somebody wants to come pick me up.
Okay, if that answers that question, we'll see you at your house next month.
Be at my place. We'll be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
Hey, every day. Kirby's for you from the Don and Mike Show. This is Jeremy Coleman speaking.
This is a song that there's a lot of Christmas songs out there and not too many Hanukkah songs. So wrote a song for all those nice little Jewish kids who don't get to hear any Hanukkah songs. Here we go.
It's great for insect bites, sore throats, and facial. The Don and Mike Show.
Special Hanukkah song. Here it is. A little different. Adam Sandler. Oh, it's RuPaul.
Soft daddy kisses Santa Claus.
Andre Johnson.
Underneath the mistletoe.
Beat me to the punch on his real name. Well, it's very RuPaul Christmas. And other than the Adam Sandler song,
that's right.
We have no Hanukkah song. No.
Dreidel, dreidel.
So let's bring in. Oh, I don't want to play just our generic Jewish music, Rob.
How about Nagila?
Bring in Mike Hoffman.
Come on, Michael.
Now that I'm not talking about nearly burning down my house again. Tonight is the first night of Hanukkah. First of, is it seven nights or eight nights?
Eight.
Actually
began at sundown last night was the beginning of
Hanukkah. So seven more
so
nights.
The second night.
I think that would be right, yeah.
Hey, Mike, is tonight the first night or the second night of Hanukkah?
Tonight is the second night of Hanukkah.
Second night of Hanukkah.
Now, you always pronounce it the proper way. It is the second night of
Hanukkah? Chinooka. No.
Chinooka.
And I brought some dreidels.
Dreidels, good. All right.
As a matter of fact, today we have latkes made by my wife.
Mm. Oh, really?
Right. We heated them in the microwave a time or two here, but here, smell the latkes.
Mm. Oh, now these are the
these
potatoes?
Are potato pancakes.
Mm. These were made by, oh, pass them over, Mike.
Okay.
These are made by your wife?
These are made by my lovely wife, Shaney.
Mm.
Oh, those smell fantastic.
Take a whiff of that.
And they're kosher.
Mm. Yeah. They're all kosher?
Well, give me a plastic fork or something. I don't want to eat
those.
All
right. Look, I have...
Good.
Yeah, they've been reheated, but here we have plates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, no need for those on this show.
That's, fork? They look
fork?
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Forks.
Ah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Sorry, Buzz can't have one.
Hey, Buzz, you come on over. You can have one.
I love these.
Come get a bite of this, Buzz. That's right.
So, again, not as good as they were last night.
Mm.
Are they yummy?
Napkins?
All right.
It's good.
That's good eating. Now, what else did you bring?
Well, not the metal dreidels that you were hoping for, but money metal dreidels. But
I love the dreidel.
We do have dreidels with the chocolate gelt, but we
now
have,
see you've upgraded the dreidels again.
Well, these are personalized dreidels this
look
year.
Look at this!
And
well, now, isn't that nice?
Each thing has a little story.
Oh, look now, mine says Don, Mike, Buzz, the evil Ken.
Yes, yes, but they're all...
And they have gelt inside of them.
They have the chocolate, the Hanukkah gelt, the money-like things. Each one has a little different meaning because the Hebrew letters Nun, Gimel, Hey, and Shin stand for Nes Gadol Hayasham, a great miracle
happened.
That
sounds like my legal firm that recently represented me.
Well, a great miracle happened there also, right?
Yeah, you're right about that.
So we talked about the miracle of Hanukkah and how the temple that had been defiled by the Greeks, the Jews found a little vial of oil.
And when you
and
spin the dreidel...
And 8 days instead of just one day.
And when you spin the dreidel, whatever letter it stops on has significance. Right.
Whose did yours stop on?
Mine stopped on Mike. It stopped on me.
And that's a hey. Well, if we start with the...
That's yeah. a hey. Well, then, hey.
Hey, now.
Hey. Hey.
Right.
Well, no. If Buzz is above the letter Nun.
Nun
for Nace, from Miracle. Mm-hmm. And I felt that Buzz's recovery from his operation, his
miracle. That's a miracle.
That's a miracle.
Very good.
Yeah. And in the game of dreidel, unfortunately for you, Buzz, you get nothing with the letter Nun.
Yeah.
Because he's already had his miracle.
Right. Now, Don is above the letter Gimel.
Gimel
means you win.
Do you mean
win
gimbals?
Everything.
Like the sword gimbals?
No.
No, I know. Gimel.
Gimel. And that's the Hebrew word gadol. Well, on this show, Don is the big... Mike, you're
I'm
having
sorry.
Trouble with your dreidel.
Sorry about that.
Hold on, I want to hear about my gimel, Mike.
Gimel,
gadol. That means gadol. Big, great. You are...